money. In the situation out there, we did not get phone calls, and yet we're finding many of the taps are underneath driveways. So that does not help us at all. We like to see the taps in the middle of the lots, but when there's a duplex, they just cannot put them there. And they end up many times being underneath driveways.
Well, let your crew know we really appreciate their efforts and your efforts, Larry.
Thank you. I will pass that to our crews.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Mr. DeWall.
Yeah, I just would like to ask the city attorney to clarify for us. I'm a little concerned about what I need to be thinking about, if anything, with regard to the election. And I think three of us are in the same situation. We're all at this point unopposed. My understanding is that state law says that we're elected. I thought it meant that we're not even on the ballot. And yet there's a question as to whether or not somebody can go and do a write-in.
You got the chairman right here, Mr. Johnson. Maybe he knows something about this, too. I don't mean to take anything away from what you're going to say.
As I told Mr. DeWar before the council meeting began, I would need to research the state law just to be clear. Mr. Johnson may actually know it off the top of his head because he deals with
it
all the time.
Would you like to address it?
Yes, sir, if you would,
please.
Yes, please, would you?
I'm Richard Johnson. I really didn't come prepared for this because I was not aware of it. But for question, the law is that if a person does not file with the election commission within 14 days after the closing of filing for a write-in, then they will not be a write-in.
Are our names on the ballot?
This election is unique from the normal election in that this is a general election with a referendum. And because of the referendum and the general election at the same time, that's why you maybe what's called in your concern. But under the law, you don't have any need to be concerned for a write-in because no one filed with the election commission at the filing time.
But can't people write in as they go to the poll? Are our names on there, Mr. DeWall, myself?
I don't have this specific language, but it is that a person would have to file with the election commission within 14 days after the official filing period ends. Okay. And that did not happen. So I don't think there's any problem.
Oh, okay.
So you say anybody that writes in a name is an invalid ballot?
Invalid
ballot,
yes. Or
does that count towards the incumbent?
Or yes. That's my interpretation of it.
And our names.
And that's the law.
And our names essentially won't even be on the ballot.
No, your name is on the ballot.
It's on the ballot.
Oh, it is on the ballot.
Yes, your name is on the ballot.
But it has some words there that indicate that
she was told
that nobody can vote. Or what does it say?
The law says, and I can't quote it directly, but it's if a person desires a write-in, they would have to come before, notify the election commission, so that we will know a person, a write-in is an official write-in.
That was actually an amendment.
So that does not happen. That did not happen. So
wasn't that an amendment to the state law?
Yes.
Initially, the state law was passed, and there was no provision for a write-in.
Right.
And then I believe there were some challenges to that aspect. You got to have a chance to have a write-in, but you don't necessarily have to leave the election open just for the possibility of a write-in.
And that's why.
But then they had to come and file if they wanted to be
days,
a write-in candidate.
Yeah, 14 days after the filing period.
Just so council is clear, I didn't want it to go unsaid. And Mr. Pierce reminded me, the seat that Ms. Diggs is running for, there actually will be a ballot. And the ballot was done prior to Ms. O'Donovan withdrawing from that race. But the Municipal Election Commission recently met to accept her resignation or withdrawal from the race. Any ballots that are filed in her favor would be considered not, or would not be considered as part of that election. But the ballot was, the ballots were already prepared prior to her withdrawal from that race.
Okay.
And to our knowledge, the Republicans haven't put anybody else in to replace her.
Mr. Mayor, I remember a few years back when none of us had opposition and there was no election, that we were just declared the winner.
That's right.
Right after the filing period.
That's right. That's right.
Well, after that 2 weeks were up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that the only reason we're even going to this motion is to do the referendum. Is that correct?
It would have been the very same thing except the referendum. So we had the referendum and the ballots were made with the referendum and the names of the candidate. So the candidate's name are on the ballot. But
not a line or spot for write-in.
No write-in. So there will not be a write-in. Or if there are write-ins, they will not be counted.
Well, that sounds good.
I got one quick question, and I don't know if we can actually do this. The referendum about 6-1, yes or no, I wish maybe the Aiken Standard would run a few articles on it. A lot of people are ill-informed about the consequences one way or another.
Ms. Bantley informed me at the start of the hearing that she is working on
we're going to
that article.
Okay. The Election Commission will run an ad in the paper to that effect.
Okay, good. Because there's a lot of people I speak with have really don't have a good feel for exactly what the resolution's going to be.
Yeah,
the referendum is
actually put
it'll be in the paper. We work on that right now, as a matter of fact.
And then Ms. Bantley's doing an article, and then in the October newsletter we sent the entire FAQs regarding the referendum as the entire water bill newsletter.
That was good. That was a good one, too.
It was a good one.
Mm-hmm. But the concern is people don't read it, and how do we get people to read? It was a very detailed, but they just didn't read that information. We don't ever. Every water bill, and we're still having questions and people not knowing.
Well, it is on the website as well.
Right.
Of course, we are doing more articles.
And right.
We'll even push it out through the link out through our social media.
I think if Amy writes it, they'll read it.
That's exactly right. The point, Mayor. You're
well,
on it.
Amy and I talked about our heading that would capture their attention.
Let me just make one comment. I don't know, Richard, whether you noticed when I sent my email out, I changed the wording that you had in your issues and answers on that, because I felt it implied the law is almost requires the people to vote yes on it. And I'm not sure we want to convey that. I mean, people still have a choice mm-hmm. on whether they want to support it or not.
The only thing we did in the issues and updates and in the newsletter, we passed this through the statistician and the attorney who came and spoke here, and that wording is approved by them. We weren't advocating any position. We were only answering questions.
Okay, I read it as implying that the law requires us to vote for it, and so I made a minor change in the word.
I could specifically put on the record, Mr. DeWar, that I would never send that out. The only thing we do as staff is inform through facts.
Okay.
We did not advocate any position, and that's why we specifically have Mr. Holly involved in the process before we send anything out.
Okay. Very good. Okay. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Leslie. What are we going to send?
That's okay. The key issue is whether you want the Justice Department involved with drawing a line or not.
Thank you, Richard. Richard, thank you for being here with us.
We would love to hear your comments on the various items if you want to comment at the appropriate time. If you would, please, hold your comments to 5 minutes so that we can make sure everyone gets to speak and we can move along as rapidly as possible. So as we begin, we'll have council prayer and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
Those that choose to, if you will, bow your heads in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, our Maker and our Sustainer, once again, dear Father, we thank you for this day, a gift from you. Father, we're so grateful that you've provided to us a reasonable portion of health and strength, and we don't take that for granted. Lord, as we discuss the business of the evening, we ask that you open our hearts that we might feel you. We ask that you open our minds that we might know you. Dear God, we ask that you open our eyes so that we might see you in the faces of others. God, enable us to discern between that which is good and which is not. Make us builders of bridges, not barriers or obstructionists. Father, when we make mistakes, correct us. When we fall, we ask that you pick us up. Help us to continue to serve our community with sincerity and dedication. Father, you've shown favor on this town and our dedicated staff, and we thank you for your blessings. We pray that as we face negative comments and as they face negative comments in their daily work and opposition, that you be with them and their companion and their guide. Father, we know and we ask that if we've done any harm to anyone, any of our fellow man, we ask your forgiveness for our sins. Help us to remember that all things work together for good to those who serve you. And we promise, dear Father, to acknowledge your gift and praise in whatever we do. In your mercy we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, before the meeting, I became aware of some confusion with regard to the election ballot on November 8th. Some have opined that both you and I, and I think candidate Diggs at this point, are susceptible to write-in votes. And my understanding was that the law stipulates that if you have no primary challenge and you have no petition candidate and there's no other party challenge, that your name doesn't appear in a ballot. So I would add that item to our agenda, perhaps so we can task the city attorney to help us out a bit.
Okay, we'll put that under our petitions and requests.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend that we approve the agenda as altered, please.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Consideration of the minutes of October 10th, 2011, regular meeting minutes. Any discussion? If not, do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under presentations, an engineering and utility department update. Mr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm looking for Larry Morris. I don't see Larry in the room, Mayor.
Is he in the building?
He's aware of this agenda item because we discussed it. Yeah.
Let's just wait till let's move on, shall we?
Yep.
And when he comes in, we can pick that up again. Under old business, item one, appointments to boards, commissions, committees.
Council has 9 pending appointments, council, to city boards and commissions. 2 appointments are presented for consideration tonight. Mayor Kavanaugh has recommended Zipper Robbins be reappointed to the General Aviation Commission. if reappointed, Mr. Robbins' term would expire September 1, 2013. The mayor's also recommended Brenda Mills be reappointed to the Recreation Commission, and if reappointed, her term would expire September 1, 2013. So for council's consideration tonight are these two appointments.
Okay, sir, thank you.
I move we approve the recommended appointments.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes.
I have two appointments, Mr. Mayor, coming up.
Okay.
Ron Delamora for the environmental and Marion Nathy for the parkway. I don't know the full name of those commissions, but those are the two names. Both of them reappointments.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Mayor, I have two reappointments that I would like to make, please. Mr. Henry Craig to the Community Development Committee, as well as Craig Jarvis to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. Any others?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to reappoint Al Snell to the Park Commission.
Okay. Any others? If not, do we have a motion and second to...
You've already approved this. You've already approved,
I'm sorry.
Approved the term.
We certainly did, excuse me. Okay. Those will come up, those last few will come up next meeting, of course. Okay. Moving on to two, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve renewal of the URS lease with Aiken Corporation and adjusting loan payments. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The ordinance is entitled An Ordinance Approving Aiken Corporation Lease Agreement Renewal with URS and Revising Loan Repayment Terms. This was passed 5-1 at our meeting on October 10. We provided additional information in the cover memo back in 2001. Then Westinghouse Government Services Company, LLC, signed a 10-year agreement with 3 5-year renewal options for a lease at their corporate headquarters building on Newberry Street. At this time, Aiken Corporation, through their executive committee, has voted unanimously to proceed with an additional 5-year term, keeping the renewal options in place with the lease. The monthly rental is $28,090.20. URS has over 48,000 employees in over 40 countries worldwide. Their book of business exceeds $9.8 billion a year. This project originally started out as a project to relocate the community playhouse from its location on Two Notch at the Virginia Acres Park to the downtown. And back in 2000, then City Manager Roger LaDuke had several conversations with Ambrose Schwally, who headed up the Westinghouse Government Services Company. And they were looking for a place to locate their headquarters, and it was seen as an opportunity for a public-private collaborative effort to have the theater building become a theater building and corporate headquarters with a shared lobby. So at that time, the negotiations took place. And that project did result and is there today. Wade Brody is here as chairman of the Aiken Corporation and has further information regarding the lease renewal and the proposal to split the payments under the lease between an obligation that Aiken Corporation has to Security Federal Bank as well as to the city's loan.
Okay.
So this is for council consideration tonight. Is the second reading and public hearing for approval of the Aiken Corporation request to renew the lease and modify the repayment terms for the loan that Aiken Corporation has with the City of Aiken.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance, so if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so.
Mr. Mayor, while the person's coming forward, in light of my being an employee of URS, I will remove myself from the discussion.
Okay. Good evening. Debbie Nix, 808 Woodward Street.
If I may, Ms. Nix, I believe our policy is for the council members to leave the room. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I would like to make a comment, a couple of comments. One from the last meeting, and one comment I would like to go to talk about is URS is not a small business. Right. Mayor, when you said what you said at the last meeting, you said that we couldn't ask to increase their rent because we really needed to help the businesses in Aiken. They're not a small business. We can't go to the bank and get a loan right now. Small businesses is almost impossible, even on our commercial property, to get a loan.
Okay, to that point, I didn't say
there was. And the point is this. So I am opposed to City Council giving this loan. And the reason that I'm opposed is because, well, there's several reasons. One is that in the beginning, this was supposed to be a $250,000 project that was going to be paid for by the people who raised the funds. Now we're at $3 million, and it's going to get even bigger. And I don't know where it stops. I don't know if you guys know about the Keynesian economy, but this is what we're doing here. Government's growing and growing, and I know it's a tourism, and I'm not against the train depot. I think it's wonderful, but I don't think that public funds should be used for that. I think that that should be what they said it was going to be. I think they should raise the funds. And for me, when I think about it, it's no different than my son who lost his cell phone and wants me to replace it because he lost it. In a sense, they didn't raise the funds, and now they're coming for a loan, and I just, at a 1%, I just don't understand that. I don't understand why we do that. Also, I'd like to mention the website is still broken.
We are working on the website, Ms. Nix. It's a licensing issue with Laserfish. In fact, Amy Banton is here. She had some problems as well. We've repaired that problem as far as accessing the agenda on the website. And our programmers here are working with the programmers at Laserfish. Unfortunately, the way they've got that system set up, if you pull up a document and then pull up another document to look at it simultaneously, that consumes the licenses for the number of users that can use the site. So we are working on a fix for that.
Okay.
And can I add to a question on that?
Yes, sir.
It's a database program, and I find that I can access the information on my Mac, but I can't print it. I have to go to my PC to print it. Is that something we could... I'm not computer literate enough to know whether it's reasonable to ask to be able to print that from my Mac or not.
Well, I think it is reasonable. I think you do need to look at your Mac and look at your security settings, because when you give that additional command, you've got the document, you're sitting there looking at it on the monitor. I know that's frustrating, but you need to check your security settings, because when you do the print request, that's an additional request that pulls up the print. And depending on your security settings, your computer may not let you do that.
I'll be on the phone tomorrow with Apple and figure it out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes,
sir. At this point, the website, whenever you go in to print a document, it just says web page is broken. So you can't access anything on the website document-wise.
I was able to print from my PC over the weekend.
Yeah, you can access the documents, Ms. Nix, and again, it depends on like how old your computer is and what your security settings are. The documents are accessible. What we're running into, and it's an unfortunate problem, you know, we got an award from the state for being transparent, and unfortunately what we're running into is there are companies that go to public websites to harvest all the documents that are put up. So if we have a number of licenses there for users to access the archive, these programs come in and take all the licenses and start downloading the documents that we add. For example, after the meeting tonight, we'll have the agenda, we'll have minutes that we put on the archive, and they can sense that. So what we're trying to do is come up with a reasonable solution with the archiving company to make sure that the public can have access to the documents whenever. It's just something we've run into, so we are working on it.
I have a new computer, and I'm on a T1 line, so it downloads everywhere else. But right now, it is broken.
And again, when it's time to like look at the documents or download the documents, you want to check your security settings, too, to make sure that your computer's allowing that. Because we have run into some
It always has until now, but it's showing broken now.
Well, and I appreciate that, Ms. Nix. I'm not saying that you're not running into that. I'm saying we're working on that. We are upgrading the laser fish system, and we didn't have problems before. It's, of course, an upgrade from the company, and now we are having problems, and we're doing our best to address those. If I may, Mayor, too, because there may be some misunderstanding amongst the public, the reason for the total amount that was spent in constructing the corporate headquarters and the theater building is, you know, again, when Ambrose Schwally came forward, it was not just the theater project. It became the global headquarters and the theater project. That added $3.5 million to the project. And Mr. Brody is here and can certainly explain in better detail than can I. But the understanding was the working with then the Washington Government Services Company became the Washington Group, was the expectation that they would lease that space, and in effect the building would be built, the lease would pay for the building, and at the end of it Aiken Corporation would have an asset that was paid for. But now Mr. Brody can
yeah,
clarify.
In just a minute we'll ask Wade to come up.
Sure.
Coming up, sir, if you want to. To the point, I would like to, for the record, I would like to say to the point that Ms. Nix made, I never said that URS was a small business. Of course, I know the difference between a small business. My point was, let's treat all of our businesses the same. Let's do the best we can for all of our businesses, whether they're small, medium, large, extra large, or what. And so that was what was said. And so I wouldn't want anybody to think that I think that URS is a small business by any means. Yes, sir.
And I think, too, Mayor, that the comment at the time was the location of the headquarters there would be an advantage to the small businesses in the downtown.
Oh, absolutely. Boy, that's made a big difference. Yes, sir.
Johnny Johnson, how are you? I've taken a look at the information that was passed out by the city, and I think this is an excellent, excellent loan for the Aiken Corporation. I don't see where it benefits the citizens of Aiken or the taxpayers in any way whatsoever. There are several different balances on this loan, but if you go to page 49, it says that as of October 3rd, corporation owes the city of Aiken $1,924,927.24. If we just round that off and make it $1,945,000, a $10,000 a month payment, it takes 16.4 years to pay that off, and that's without any interest. Do the math, Mr. Pierce. Divide it. I'll tell you right now, it's pretty simple. $10,000 a month, it takes 192.5 months to pay that off. Divide that by 12. 16.4 years. Go out and find me someone today that will lend you $1,925,000 at the interest rate you're looking here. And all that you have to guarantee that payment is a 5-year lease of $20,090 roughly a month. You won't get that money. Two, why would the Aiken city at the city take $10,000 a month and allow $10,000 a month to go to an obligation to a bank that the city has no obligation to pay for? Why would you subordinate yourself to that loan? The train depot was transferred to the city free and clear of all liens. I suggest that this does not need to be approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Anyone else would like to speak?
I'm Martin Buckley. I live on Two Notch Road in Aiken. I'd like to ask you what you consider, what you think of this business, because basically, in business, there are winners and losers, and I haven't made up my mind totally about this one yet. But we've got a one-year bridge loan, about 10 years old, that was supposed to be over with, if my understanding is correct, in a year at 5% interest or something. And now we're want to bundle it up and keep on going and make it, probably make it bigger and make it slower, that is, reduce the interest and whatever. I think that renewing the lease is a very good idea, and I think that that is, should be done quickly. However, I think that bundling these things up so is not a really good idea. I think we ought to consider the whole thing, and basically, would a bank take it? If you were a bank, if you were sitting there on the board of a bank, what would you say when this came up? I'm not a banker, but I know what I'd say, and it probably wouldn't be very grammatical or polite. But you're sitting there for the citizens, and they benefit from this to some extent. But how does the balance work? Wouldn't it be better to pay off the initial loan and negotiate the others? Wouldn't it be better to finish one and start another, or see the end in sight? Basically, you know, I don't know when you get to the point where it's best to just cut your losses and forget it, but maybe it would be about as well to just forgive the loan totally and get out of the development business. I mean, in the long run, we might be better off. However, that's not for me to decide. You think it over and see what we want to do. But anyway, I appreciate your listening to this, and I'm sure you'll hear some other ideas. So thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you, Mark.
Hi, Jenny Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street, and I'm sorry I was a little late, so I apologize if I'm repeating things that have already been said. And one of the things that Martin said, I think, is one of my points, and that is, you know, this unfinished business. I don't think it's a good idea for things to just go on endlessly with no ending. Just, you know, it reminds me kind of my children and their, you know, the cats they bring home, and they like them for a little while, and then they say, okay, you take care of them, because I'm going to go do something else now. And mom and dad take care of the cats, and maybe y'all are the moms and dads that are going to end up taking care of all these never-finished projects that are never paid for. I'd like to see, as Martin said, I'd like to see something finished and something started if it needs to be, but not just you know, let the children go on and leave their messes behind them. If we've got, you know, a lot, if we've got money to loan, there are probably some other small businesses that would like some of these low interest loans. Maybe you ought to take a look at, you know, working with some of them. And if there's also, if there's money that's not needed or could be used another way, I'd like to suggest improvements to the back of that building. When it was first built, I was kind of horrified that it had that green metal backside to it. I don't know that any other downtown building would be allowed to be, you know, basically a metal facade when we're doing everything to improve downtown. The, you know, the improvements they made at the Art Center, I think, you know, possibly if the city wants to look at, you know, something to do with, if you got extra money we don't need, I'd like to see the back of that building bricked or fixed in some way so that it doesn't just look like a barn. I mean, I like barns, but I don't think they ought to be there. So I apologize if I'm repeating that things have been said, but I think this is, we need to take a good look at just rolling over every time they ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Evening, Pat Paternity, Aiken. As I hear this continuing saga, and it has been a continuing saga, I have to ask myself, if I were a wordsmith, if there was a reverse term for usury, basically being a borrower or user of funds, taking advantage of uncompetitive, beneficial, unfair, very lenient situations in regard to the use and the return of that money, in this case to the citizens of the city of Aiken. I think the city council and the citizens of Aiken have been extremely patient in the return of what was considered a short-term bridge loan. And now the Aiken Corporation is back again, renegotiating the terms, looking at an even longer period of time with more beneficial terms and in fact, a ridiculous low interest rate, one that could not be considered on the commercial market. I think it would do a lot to the integrity of City Council and the integrity of the Aiken Corporation if in this one case they stopped in terms of their aggressive pursuit of beneficial private public development and repaid this loan and started out new instead of looking for continual uses of the public's money and rolling these loans over and over. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else like to speak? Okay.
My name is Pat Cunning, 113 Mulberry. I do know a little bit about this. I was the one that first suggested it to Ambrose because he was going to move the headquarters to Denver. And being on the Aiken Corporation, I said, you know what, I think you have a good opportunity to do something here that can certainly help the city. And we negotiate a very beneficial rate, I think, for the city. You know, it's roughly $16.75, $17 a foot, net. And what that means is they pay everything. So the URS is paying the fair market rent here for this building. Believe me, we need to get this lease redone. I think everybody understands that. So that's my first point. But it is market rent. I'm glad they're re-upping. They had a 10-year lease, and we are very pleased that they re-upped because in this current market condition right now, I'd hate to be out there in the market trying to get this leased up again. But anyway, that's if you add up everything, taxes, insurance, maintenance, and everything, it's probably over $20, $21 a foot, which, believe me, folks, I'm in this business, and that's a fair return for the on the building. Second thing is, I just had a question. On the interest rate, the borrowing is on what the city gets on a return rate at the state. Is that where that rate comes from?
It's 1% above what we're paid on our reserve fund.
All right, it's 1% above what the city makes, right? And the reserve fund, get how much?
0.23.
We actually have an updated figure. It's as of September 30th, it's 0.2879.
Changes monthly.
And, of course, the interest rate, the way this is drawn, would be changed monthly, just as the LGIP changes.
There is no question that is a very favorable rate, being on a bank board. There's no question about that. I will say this, being on the board of the Aiken Corporation, and I'd like to compliment Reggie, since he's been on the board. I think both of us have been focused on getting debt repaid. If this loan is approved, I believe it will be a very short-term loan, probably no more than a year. And the reason why I say that is that we have a roughly $650,000, $700,000 building that we own free and clear. As soon as we sell that, that loan, all that money is going to pay this loan, paying the Security Federal loan off, every dime of it. And I can assure you that every meeting I attend, everything we talk about, Reggie and I both talk about, is how do we get the debt paid down? I can tell you that's what we're going to do. So this is not going to be a 17-year loan. Now, if we only get $500,000 or $600,000 on it, then the remaining balance is going to have to come out of the Friends of the Depot. In other words, we signed a note with them that they have to pay back the Aiken Corporation, Rich. I believe it was
$693,693.
We owe the bank roughly that amount. So we're, the Aiken Corporation is going to collect.
Wait a minute, you're getting loans confused here, I think. $690,000 is the amount that the Aiken Corporation owns Security Federal.
Right.
The amount of money that the Friends of the Railroad Depot are going to accept is close to $800,000, isn't it?
As the balance, and it's listed in the write-up, is, or was last time, it's, I'll give you the exact number because I got it here. It was $693 and a change. And that's what the note is from the Friends of the Railroad to Aiken Corp.
I read a higher number. Sorry. I'll look for it.
You probably read $740,000.
No, I read
that was before the late, and I'm giving you September numbers. I've been keeping the numbers, so I'm ought to be pretty close.
All right. Mr. Mayor, my major point is I don't think this is going to be a 17-year loan. I think it's going to be a very short-term loan, and I can just tell you my total focus of the Aiken Corporation now is to get debt paid off. And the one thing we have done right is that building over there. It was the right thing to do. We created 50 jobs, and I think it was it helped the downtown tremendously. And also, the Washington Group, Westinghouse, gave $400,000 donation of the $1.2 million that was raised to finish the playhouse. Yes. So as far as URS and their commitment, they have done exactly what they're supposed to do and actually helped the downtown tremendously.
Yeah. Pat, you mentioned the building that Aiken Corp owns. What kind of contacts have you had lately? Wade can answer this. I don't know.
At the last meeting, I think we have someone very interested from what we understand. We obviously, in those kind of businesses, they can't tell us who they are, but we're very hopeful that one will turn out. And it's it's a 30,000 square foot building that needs to be finished inside, and it's well located. And remember, that was done as part of the Aiken Corporation was a spinoff of the Aiken 2020, which was a $3 million project about where it started from. You know, like a lot of people forget, 20 years ago when the SRS site, when the Russians declared peace, and we went from 26,000 employees down to 12. And what the downtown looked like then, why the Aiken Corporation was created, was to help the city. And it's always been a partnership. And, you know, our numbers are audited. And, with my banking background, the first thing I look at is how are we going to pay our debts back? And I'll pay Reggie a tremendous compliment. Since he's gotten on the board, I think it's even become more of a focus. And I can assure you, I'm not looking to get into any more debt. And, when we start talking about all the volunteers of the Aiken Corporation, I've been on it since it started on the housing, and we've done a good job on the housing. And I know there's been a lot of criticism of the Aiken Corporation, but people need to look back at what was happening downtown, and everything's fine and rosy now. But back in those days, it wasn't. It really wasn't. So, anyway, Reggie, thanks again for all your help on this. And all I'm telling you is we're going to get this loan paid off quicker in 17 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
We actually have the URS building results in state and federal taxes of over $57,000 being paid every year and property taxes over $31,000 a year.
Anyone else like to speak?
I'm Carla Cloud with Aiken Downtown Development Association. And one thing people keep talking about is the Aiken Corporation as if it's this big, huge conglomerate. And then they talk about how the citizens, you shouldn't do this to the citizens and that sort of thing. Well, I'm a part of this because it's my job. But I can tell you, in the 5 years that I've been here, I've met some remarkable people. And they are citizens. And they sit on these Aiken Corporation and many other committees. And I've never seen any of them doing anything to put money in their own pocket to help themselves. They've not looked at what's helping them directly. They're looking at what's helping overall. And I think that's one thing people forget. It's like if it doesn't benefit them directly, then they don't want it. They forget about the overall picture. We've got some wonderful people here, and Wade Brody takes a bashing a lot of times, and that man would give you the shirt off his back. And I know this really didn't have anything to do. I'm not a banker, but I'm offended by the fact that Aiken Corporation, they forget those are citizens and they're people that care about this city. And there's a lot of things that Aiken Corporation has done that's good. And I'm busting my butt right now on a fundraiser to help pay off this loan, because we're not expecting the city or the citizens that aren't involved with this to do that for us. We're asking for some leniency here to help, because it is a bad climate. But I've been out till midnight many nights for the last month trying to work on something to help raise funds. So I just think that needs to be said, that we're citizens too that are trying to get this. We're not just people coming out here trying to take advantage of somebody else. And when I hear good old boys, it offends me, because in one way it doesn't, because they are good old boys. These are people that are good people. And I just felt like I needed to say that.
Thank you. Thank you, Carla. Anyone else like to speak? Wade, would you like to address the council and the citizens too, and kind of review what you're asking for and why?
Good evening. I'm Wade Brody, chairman of the Aiken Corporation. We have a number of our executive committee here this evening. I'd like to ask them to stand and be recognized. Thank you. We're here for several reasons this evening. One is that the lease with URS has matured. It's due. Needs to be renewed. The loan with the city matures at the end of the month. It needs to be renewed. And the major reason that we're here is that a pledge in the amount of $500,000, which many of us considered a commitment, did not come through. If we had gotten that, we wouldn't be here this evening. But to me, what we're asking is very simple. Approve the lease, renew the loan, and approve our request on the use of the loan funds, which will in fact pay off this $500,000. Of course, a little bit more than that, but with that, I'd be glad to try to answer any questions council may have.
Well, wait, tell us why that's a good thing to do. The loan is going to be paid off anyway.
Yes.
So why is it a good time? Why is this a good time to do what you're suggesting? I'm just looking for the pros and cons here myself, because I've got to make up my mind like other council members.
Why is it a good time to extend the loan?
No, not. I don't question extending the loan. I'm talking about the breakup, the way that you intend to split.
Yes.
And the interest, Lord.
Okay.
I have no problem with it, with the loan.
Well,
those
two things are vehicles to pay off this loan that we had a pledge on that didn't come through. $10,000 a month would go to pay off the loan, and the reduced interest rate would also go to pay off the loan. And as Pat mentioned, If we're fortunate, we hope we will be. We're showing it now, the spec building. If that sells, right, all that will move toward paying that loan off.
Paying it off faster.
Right. Well, basically to pay it off. Depending on what we get for the building. But It paid off much faster.
I mean, I think it's important to say, and we've talked about the loan and how long it is and all that, but if this is going to pay off the loan faster, I think that's a key,
right.
A key piece of information. There are many of them, but I mean, I think that's key for folks to know.
Pay off which loan faster?
What was that?
Pay off which loan faster?
The debt on the railroad depot.
Which would mean extending, paying off longer the loan for the that you have with the city.
Right. Yeah. I think we've done a good job in debt management. I mentioned it last time. We started out at $3.5 million loan, and it's now down to $1,925,000. So, and as Pat mentioned, it's the total goal of the corporation to get this thing paid off.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I've got a little different tack on this. I have a question. I may be totally off base on this, but it seems to me that the city is basically the one that's taking all the risks and so forth. And the last time we spoke at the last meeting, I inquired, well, after all is said and done, after everything is all paid off, who holds the deed? And I was told that the Aiken Corporation is going to hold the deed. I wouldn't have any problems, proving the loan and so forth, as long as when the URS loan, the office building loan, if that deed reverts to the city, and then the city has a cash flow of like $28,000, on a regular monthly basis. And then when the Aiken Corporation has a new venture, then we can, take a look at it and take some of that money that is coming into the city, some of that $28,000 per month, and then see if we want to finance it again. But it seems to me the city is sitting there. I mean, why not Steve Homoke Incorporated? The city's going to guarantee me a $1.9 million loan, and I go out and, make some business, and I pay it back, and then everything falls into my lap. I mean, that is a sweetheart deal in a sense. Now, I agree. I think Aiken Corporation's done a lot of good, but I think we should seriously look at it. If, in fact, the loan gets paid off, Aiken Corporation should, grant the deed back to us. I mean, we do it with the houses out at Crossland as well.
The city technically owns the building and is built on city property. We do have a 99-year lease, which is very favorable.
Case, Wade, why don't we just, after the loan gets paid off, the city receives the rent monies?
Well, that just was not the way it was set up. It could be changed. But if you look back at our history, we have never spent a nickel on any big project that didn't come before city council with their approval.
I'll take exception to that, and I'll get into that in a bit. But I don't agree with that statement at all.
My statement? Or
no, Mr. Brody's statement.
No, just for the record, I think the Aiken Corporation's done well. As far as the terms of the loan, I'm not a banker like Mr. Cunning is. I don't have a clue what's fair, what's not, and what's good. I personally wish I could get a loan like that somewhere, but I don't have any quibbles with the loan. I don't have any quibbles with the terms. The only thing is, at the end of the day, why, after the city's put itself at risk, and, we've got plenty of money, so it's not like it's going to bankrupt us, but still, if we lose, a couple of million dollars from our reserve, so forth, we're still taking a risk. Why shouldn't the city receive the deed and then get that cash, that revenue flow from the URS rent lease? That's the only question.
The way the situation was set up, and that's what I covered in my initial memo and the remarks tonight, the strategic plan that was adopted in the 1990s talked about the vitality of our downtown and how important that would be in the future. Aiken Corporation was created after a fundraising effort that was called Aiken's 2020, and that was seen as a development wing. A for-profit entity is called LED, Leading Economic Development. that's actually profit to that corporation, and that's why the taxes are being paid and property taxes are being paid on the building. In the past, council has supported economic development in Aiken through the Aiken Corporation, and many cities throughout the state do that. They have a development corporation because cities don't run at a profit. We run to break even. And there have been several projects over the history of Aiken Corporation, starting with two houses on Richland Avenue that were deteriorated, work that has been done on various houses throughout the downtown, work in Tool Hill. And as we're doing in Carlson Park, when we finish a house and sell it, we take that money to put it into another house to upgrade in Carlson Park. And it has been that way with Aiken Corporation. As they have gone out and developed certain items and those have sold, then the money has been put back into economic development. Back in the 90s and continuing through today, council has supported the efforts of Aiken Corporation again under the strategic plan, the goals of Aiken 2020, and even in your renewal of the strategic plan that you approved last year. This vibrant downtown has been something that council has harped on again and again. Remember, the original scope of the project was just to move the theater downtown and have them as part of a cultural effort under the family city, business city concept to have the cultural arts in the downtown. And that's when, as Mr. Cunning mentioned, that he had the conversation with Ambrose Schwalwick, and here was an opportunity to have actually corporate headquarters in the downtown. We had an operating business with office space. So that's why it was set up the way it was. There's kind of a profit-making side, and then there's a cultural side with a shared lobby. There really wasn't anything that had been done like that in the state at the time that building was built. And it has been seen as a stimulus to the downtown and a draw to the downtown. So if that's helpful, that was some of the reasons that went behind that 10 years ago and then again 20 years ago.
Excuse me, another thought along those same lines is that Aiken Corporation as an entity can do things that the city can't.
That's right.
That it can be tremendous benefit to the city. So that's another reason for the ownership staying with the corporation.
Well, let me just review the bidding here. Okay, the railroad depot is on city property. Consequently, we're going to receive the deed, or we have the deed.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, you say it's on city property as far as the URS office building, and we will have that at the end of 16 years, 10 years, whatever.
It's a 99-year lease.
Oh, it's a 99-year lease.
Hmm? But it's still our property.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And basically, I still don't understand why the city cannot profit after the risks it takes by guaranteeing these loans. I mean, not guaranteeing, actually funding these loans.
May I ask a question to help see if I can understand what he's asking? If we receive the deed from the Aiken Corporation on the URS building in the Playhouse, we would then have to pay taxes. We would not pay taxes on that building, right? If we owned it, there would be no taxes.
Right.
We would only get the rent from that building. As it stands now, we are at least getting taxes on that building, and we're using the monies that are coming in from that building on other projects that benefit the city. Am I correct on that? Mm-hmm. But there's no private enterprise here that benefits from what you collect. It all comes back to us and the citizens in some shape or form.
Right.
Am I correct on that? So the only advantage to getting the deed before the 99-year lease is up is that, in fact, we would not be getting the benefit of the taxes that you pay the city. We would be responsible for what else?
Maintenance, insurance. And even beyond that, does the city want to be in the lease property ownership business? I mean, that was one reason why the Aiken Corporation was set up.
And one other question I have is, are we losing money by renegotiating this lease? Are we really losing money, the city itself, by renegotiating this lease?
No, they make, they, we're suggesting that since we're an arm of the city, that the loan be extended at a rate similar to what you do for city departments, which is 1% above the state investment rate pool. So in effect, you wouldn't be getting as much interest as is the agreed amount on the present loan, but you're not losing interest. You'd be getting 1%. You know, if you didn't have the loan, the money's in the state investment pool at 0.25% interest. So we'd be paying 1% over the loan.
The 1% over the investment pool is what we did with the computer advance,
right?
The SPCA money.
Versus the, 4% that we get now?
Right.
At the last council meeting, I asked to look at a copy. Were you through? I'm sorry.
I did have one more question, but I guess it's more rhetorical than anything, and that is that what's going to happen if we don't renew this lease tonight? Because it's tied. There are two things tied together. It's the renewal of the lease with URS, part of that, and then it's adjusting the loan.
Could I say something at this point?
What's going to happen if we don't do that?
I think that we could go ahead, and Mr. Smith can answer this, but I think we can go ahead and do one without doing the other.
Okay.
If we were to all agree or a majority agree on the lease agreement, go ahead with that. And then if we have discussions on the other parts of it, then we could do that either at a later date if that's necessary. Is that correct?
You just have a loan that's coming due at the end of the month.
You would have to change the wording to do what you said.
Well, yeah.
We can do that. And I'm okay with that. Is it back to council for questions?
I'm just getting ready to make some comments.
I think I mentioned I don't have any problems with the lease and the loan as is. I'm just kind of concerned about, you know, here we are, we're sponsoring something for 10, 12 years, and then at the end of the day, we don't really have very much to show for it. As far as, you know, what the taxes or losing on the taxes, I'm not sure what we lose. But why not, you know, let the income? You're saying
the state and federal taxes are $57,000 a year and property taxes are $31,000 a year.
That's right.
I don't think we need to be paying that.
But that's only about 3 months' worth of rent. And then we'd accrue, you know, 9 months' worth. Well, but the whole point is, you know, it's not like, you know, if the Aiken Corporation identifies a project that they want to, they can come back to us and we can, you know, finance it. But here, I'm always getting confused between the for-profit and the not-for-profit side. And it seems like,
Aiken Corporation is a not-for-profit corporation. That's why LED was formed, because IRS interprets the lease payments as being a for-profit operation. So it's a sub-entity of Aiken Corporation, since it is profit-making. They're paying those taxes.
Obviously.
Pat?
Go ahead. What if you keep the current rate, 4%, but you have a separate note? I used to do this all the time, okay? Keep the 1.9, but the difference goes into a separate account to be paid after the 1.9 is paid. It accomplishes what you want. In other words, if we're successful at selling this building, or if it takes us 2 or 3 years, you keep the 4%, you just have a contra account, the difference between 1.25 and the 4. It goes on as a payable to us that y'all are still secured on the building, so you still get the return to the taxpayer. In other words, my whole concern was with URS that they stay there. I want to make sure that they extend that next 5 years. If we're able to sell this spec building, and we apply all of the $28,000. We pay this loan off in, 6 years? I think it's 6 point, something like that.
If you take the $10,000 a month at 1.21 in my calculations, you can pay off the $690,000 with other supplements coming in from the overages in October of 2016, which is 5 years.
Okay. So you understand my question, Steve? In other words, you leave the 4% and we put that in a contra account. We still owe it, but we're able to use the excess now to make sure we continue to pay the Security Federal loan, forces us to do our job and get this debt down. We still are going to owe you the difference between 1.25 and 4, and it goes into a separate account, because I want to get this $1.9 million paid off as well. So it forces us, as the Aiken Corporation, to pay the debts off quicker. It still helps the city because you're getting 4% versus 1.25. That's what I would do. I know you didn't like that, but that's
I don't.
Well,
let me raise a couple of issues. I don't know if you all recall what's in the lease, but the lease has got some startling terms. First of all, and I support renewing this lease, by the way. I don't think there's going to be any question that the council is not going to renew the lease. But in fact, the initial agreement we signed with then Westinghouse, this is a 25-year lease. It's a 10-year lease with them having the right for 3 5-year terms. Right. As a matter of fact, they have the right to buy it. They have the right of first refusal.
That's
with
correct.
No termination date, ever. No termination date ever. Even if they move and leave for 20 years, if we ever want to sell it, they still have the right, as I read this, I'm not an attorney, but certainly people can look at it, they have the right of first refusal. Now, we can talk about all of these deals about
the rent. There's nothing wrong with the right of first refusal. Just about everybody that buys a house in Aiken has the original owner has right of first refusal.
That's fine.
Okay, just so we're together.
Let me quote from the lease, because we're talking about the rent that hasn't changed. And yet, on the one hand, we're now talking about a provision that will force it to change every month, and I think make the finance director's job a little...
It's changing every month now.
The lease payment wouldn't change every month.
Uh-uh. The $20,000 coming into the city, the interest right now is a steady 4%.
That's right.
But before the interest came down to 4%, it changed every month.
No.
I need a head shake.
You're saying the interest comes into the city?
Yes.
At 4%, and that was a fixed rate, and I can look it up and tell you exactly what month Richard may have it.
Hang on.
It's about 2 years ago, maybe two and a half, it was above 4%, and it changed every month.
I'm not sure.
I think that's
right. Let me tell you what the lease says.
That's right.
Let me tell you what the lease says.
Floor.
The lease says, and I quote, "The lease stipulates that the rent will be based on the best figure available from the local lenders, of which I think we all agree there is none. And the rental payment shall be pegged to the local lending rate throughout the period of the lease. If those rates should increase or decrease, then the rental payments will adjust accordingly. Since there's no local lending rate because of the unwillingness of the local banks to loan money for the project, how do we determine the rate that we're using?"
There's a provision that provides for a bond rate. There was contemplation of the loan from the city, and they called it a bond rate.
Yes, they did.
Right. So the idea was, as I understood the original lease, that was for lease payment calculation purposes, and the benefit of any the best possible rate was to accrue to URS. And that was there's a memorandum of agreement, and then there's actually a lease term. The other thing to remember, too, with the lease payments is in the initial payments that began in the year 2000, there was a pool of money that was created for, like, heating and air conditioning, possible roof replacement. And at one point, it was determined that that fund was flush and had been fully paid up. So that was taken out of the lease payments.
Yes.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, with the initial lease payment calculation, let me just put my hands on that.
Yeah, it's right in there. It's $1,117.96 was the added factor for what they call the adder account. How much is in that account, by the way?
$115,000 plus.
Is that reflected on your books? I've never seen that number anyplace.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's actually in a certificate of deposit.
On the Ned's balance sheet.
Mm-hmm. It's in the accrual basis, and unless you go back and research it, you can't find it. It's under three terms, and we did change the title on two of them so that you can identify it readily, but the other one is a money market or CD.
As building reserve.
Building reserve.
Led's balance sheet.
Two of them are listed, and the other one says CD or something like that on it.
Yeah, there's a CD account. There's a CD account.
So the money's there, and it's $115,000.
Plus or minus a few bucks. Yours truly is watching it.
I'm just an amateur mathematician, and all I know how to do is to search an amortization formula on the internet. I don't know how we got to 1.9 million based on the payments that we've made, even at 8%. When I did that, I show that the loan ought to be closer to 2. Something million. Can we get a summary of the payments that Aiken Corporation has made on this loan?
Sure. The way we got there was initially, probably for the first 5 years, wanting to pay this loan off as soon as possible, we applied 100% of the lease payment to the debt.
You can't do that.
You can't do it. Why can't you?
Because if you amortize a loan, as we all learn, we bought a house, a portion of that goes to principal and a portion of that is interest.
Unless
you prepay.
That's what reduces it down. Like if my monthly payment is $100, but I pay $200 a month, that $100 is amortized between principal and interest. That second $100 goes entirely towards principal.
If the agreement allows that. Or are you just assuming that... That's okay.
No, that's just that's the way the payment is because as I gave you the figures before the meeting tonight, there's a principal and interest figure. But in addition to the regular monthly payment, Aiken Corporation made principal payments to buy down the loan.
So the monthly, do you know what the monthly payment is, the initial monthly payment?
ballpark $29,000 initially.
The rent. I'm talking about the monthly payment.
The rent?
No, the monthly payment on the loan.
It's back in the year 2000.
$29,000.
Is that a word?
Which was the same as the interest payment.
The majority of
I guess what I'm
is interest in initial amortization.
So you weren't actually touching the principal.
He was to the extent there was a monthly payment and paid more than that amount in a month, then that goes to the principal.
So what you're saying is that a $3.5 million loan at 7.5% interest, you're not going to pay. You're going to pay less than
7.5% interest.
That's the problem with this thing. You know, I can only go on the data that I have.
Well, it's an adjustable rate.
Mr. Mayor, I think there is a calculation sheet which the city manager can send to him that gives every monthly payment. And the interest rate changed every month until about 2.5 years ago, or 3, fixed at 4. But that information exists. I just don't have it with me tonight. And it started at 7.5, but it changed every month for 6 or 7 years. And then it's fixed at 4% for about 3 years.
It's like Mr. Johnson saying, on page 49, you do have a memo from our finance director who gives that history of the loan.
I've got one more.
It wasn't 8%. It was 5% back in 2002.
Dick, does that satisfy you?
I'm not coming close to...
And getting that list?
I'm not coming close to getting satisfied.
Well, you need the list, though.
I would like to see the history of the payments, yes.
That's right. Yeah, you said there is that list.
That exists. I just don't have it with me tonight.
We can give you that.
Can I ask one last question? Basically, what is the Aiken Corporation on the hook for, so to speak? Do you have loans with Security Federal? Do you have a loan with the city? How much do you owe banks? How much do you owe the city and so forth? Is that broken out, or am I misreading the...
It's broken out on our balance sheet.
Okay.
So approximately, you are getting that information.
You have a bank loan as well as a loan from the city, is that right?
Well, the bank loan is to service the railroad debt. That's $695,000. The city loan is $1,925,000. That's on the URS building. And in addition to that, we have several loans with the city that are non-interest loans totaling $300,000.
$317,500, which consolidated the old loans into one. And that's a 2-year callable note on the housing only. It's mm-hmm. totally separate. And that's to do the housing. And that's totally handled separate in different checking accounts and everything. But it is $317,500. And we consolidated them about 3 months ago. There mm-hmm. was three of them, and the wording was wrong. You know. over the years. And that's, there's no other loans, direct loans, other than Security Federal.
That's all.
There's a total of three if you want to count the city loan on the housing and then also the URS loan. There's three only.
But as far as, you know, you said, does the city really want to be in the landlord mode? Basically, I think that's what we're going to be doing with the Railroad Depot Visitor Center. Is that right?
No, the city
does not have that debt obligation.
It's not commercial property. The city actually owns that building. Mm.
If we owned the URS, then that would be the same thing, then, wouldn't it?
No, I don't think so.
No, because you'd have a tenant. We operate the Visitor Center Railroad Museum. URS is a tenant in the URS building. We don't have a tenant at the depot.
The Visitor Center is...
Mr. City Attorney, do we need to call a point of order and have a work session on this? We've been going almost an hour now, or 45 minutes, so I don't know if we're getting anywhere or not.
Well, I might add, I think we need to decide if we want to split these two subjects up.
I think that would
be good.
We
could be here all night talking about this, well, and we need to get the other one way or the other.
Well, there's three items that we were asked to look at.
Well, they're three items, yeah.
All right, but that's why I ask a point of order. Our discussion is in a circle, and I ask a point of order from the city attorney that we can either continue this or vote on the one part of it that's easy to vote on, and that's continue the loan.
Council has the ability, as a whatever the majority of council wants to do with respect to what the discussion is. If a majority of council wants to end the discussion, you can end the discussion. If a majority of council wants to go ahead and vote, then you can go ahead and vote.
Can we change the motion tonight? Is that legal to do that, to amend that motion?
As I understood what was being asked, currently your ordinance is doing two things. It's Section 1, council would be voting to approve and authorize the Akin Corporation to enter into a renewed lease agreement with URS, and a copy of that lease agreement is attached to the ordinance. Okay. Section 2 of the ordinance is where you get into talking about the application of the monthly rent payments and that sort of thing, and I was understanding that you were talking about wanting to split those two different things.
So Section,
I think you could just delete Section 2. Or you could, if that was council's desire, you could delete Section 2 from this ordinance and pass the approval of the lease agreement.
To provide us time to do the financial review, though, Mr. Smith, shouldn't we allow Akin Corporation to continue to make payments under the existing note until
Correct.
Such time as new note terms are approved?
Yeah. You've got as I understand it, the loan is coming due the end of this month.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's whatever council's pleasure is. I can't sit here today and make you let them continue to pay under those terms. That is a decision the council needs to make.
Do I need to officially raise a point of order so that we can amend that motion and vote on it?
Councilman, I'd appreciate it if you let me finish asking some questions. I mean, normally we all get a chance to ask questions.
Yes, but we've been going on almost an hour.
Well, I got a lot of questions. It's a very complicated issue, quite frankly. I'm, along with a lot of people, quite disturbed at what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you. With regard to the $500,000 commitment, that was about as good as a commitment I got from members of the county council personally told me that building was going to stay right where it was. So I'm not sure, and you know those players better than I do. I don't know how firm that commitment of the $500,000 was.
It was in writing, but we live and learn.
Yeah, we don't we? With regard to the, first of all, I support extending the lease, but I do quibble with the amount that we owe, and I would appreciate getting a history of the payments forth so I can satisfy myself. I mean, my amateur detective work indicates that they should owe more than 1.9. And also incumbent on that is I need to know, based on the terms of the original loan, how much should have gone to the principal and how much was over principal, because what you're saying is anything higher than the principal goes directly to a principal, higher than the mandatory principal payment.
Right. If the monthly payment is the monthly payment. So if you pay over and above that, that gets credited to principal.
Over and above?
The monthly payment, which is amortized between principal and
interest. Yes.
So you're going to give me both then? You're going to give me the...
We'll give you the actual payments and where the history was, what the monthly payment should have been and what was actually paid.
Yeah, so what it was under an ideal if they had only paid on the loan, and then you're going to give me what really happened, the
we'll
extra money
the
that they paid.
Actual payment
yes.
amounts.
Okay.
We
All
have
right.
that.
With regard to the loan that you have with Security Federal, is that accruing interest?
Is it what?
Is that accruing interest?
You're paying interest on it.
You are paying interest on it. Okay. Again, let me just say I support extending the lease. That's a no-brainer, and I've never intended any of my comments to be misconstrued against anything regarding SRS. They're obviously a very valuable asset to the city. With regard
URS,
I'm sorry, URS. With regard to the other two items, I can't support them at all. I mean, first of all, we're being asked to lower the interest rate from 4% to 1. I hope we don't ask the company that handles our pension money to be that free, and just because they got a deal that gives them more money than as they could currently get, that we wouldn't expect them to go back and volunteer to give less. Whether we like it or not, this is money that the city council at that time invested with the expectation of getting a return. I don't agree that we should lower the interest rate. Secondly, I think we need to reevaluate this issue of, and I think it's within our power to do so, requiring the finance department to compute how much rent is owed on a monthly basis. Whether we take the average rate every month for the past year or past 2 years or past 3 years, I mean, I think we ought to work towards coming up with a fixed rate that our finance department can work with instead of adding the work for them to compute the monthly payment.
I mean, for what it's worth, Mr. Dewar, we discussed that fully with staff before we brought this to council. They're very comfortable with that. We're already doing it for the city loans to ourselves, so it's just one more item.
Okay. And the splitting of the loan again, it's been less than a year when you promised us you were going to continue your fundraising, and I think you're saying tonight that you're still going to continue your fundraising. I'd rather see you continue the fundraising. We're talking now, and this is the second, and we're talking about maybe the third and fourth project that maybe we'll end up with the same problems, but your fundraiser you're talking about is to finish this loan and to start a program for the Cultural Center and then to start a program for the SRS Heritage Center. I looked at the history of what went on in the Playhouse building, and there was a report about yay thick, and you all promised if you ever did anything like that again, you'd have a project manager, and I'm not sure that we ever had a project manager for the railroad depot. And I would quibble, Mr. Brody, I don't recall in the 4 years I've been on council ever approving buying the dioramas, I'm not saying good or bad, or buying the rail cars, or deciding that we were going to put the deck in. I don't think any of those decisions ever came to council. I don't recall them, and I would challenge you to show me the minutes.
Several presentations were made.
You made presentations, but you never asked for permission from the council to do that. So we were aware most times after the fact and after the commitment of money was made. In fact, I think the contract to build the railroad depot was let in December of 2009, I think, and you didn't have the money then. So I would hope, if nothing else comes out of this, that you stop building things and buying things that you don't have the money for, because that is what puts us in this kind of situation.
We generally have worked off of pledges, and that's been very workable. In fact, on the 2020 campaign, where we raised $3.5 million, probably 98% of those pledges were paid. So it's a matter of when you get the pledges in hand, whether you move forward with the project or whether you wait 3 years, 5 years, till all the pledges are paid in. We felt comfortable, based on the history in Aiken, of moving forward with the project.
Well, it didn't work for this project, and I submit that it will be a challenge for the other two projects that you're considering fundraising for. And I think it would be ideal if you'd wait till you had the money before you built or committed.
Well, as I've indicated previously, fundraiser is still being developed, so there's nothing cut and dried on it at the present time.
Well, maybe we ought to give the fundraiser a chance before we
before we change the terms of the loan. And the other issue, in addition to how much money the city is giving the Aiken Corporation by considering lowering the interest rate, is the fact that, boy, if we've got this much money in the reserve, I think at budget time we better look at seeing how much reserve we carry. I mean, we have this year loaned money out for the computers for the vehicle, for the SPCA. We're going to talk tonight about the library. All good projects. There's no quibble about that. But that's a lot of money out of our reserves. Now, and I will grant you, City Manager, that we're getting more money lending it out to the Aiken Corporation than we would if we just lend it out to the SCLGIP rate, although I wonder whether we could find another source to get more money than what the South Carolina rate is.
No other entity that the council, that the city's been involved with, has had a more positive effect than the Downtown Development and the Aiken Corporation. And just to refresh your minds, several years ago, the University of South Carolina at Aiken Business Department did a study, and that study indicated that the city has benefited $82 million over the last 15-20 years that these organizations have been in existence. And the conclusion was that the city of Aiken would not be beautiful, attractive, and desirable place to live and work if it had not been for the Aiken Corporation and the Downtown Development Corporation. So I argue strenuously with anybody that takes fault to what we have done.
We're not taking fault with what you have done for the city, as I mentioned last time. We're taking fault with the financial aspects of how it has been done.
And as I indicated, we wouldn't be here at $95.5 million had come through.
Well, and I made my comment on that, so thank you, Mr. Burley.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I had asked a question earlier, and I would like to know if anyone has an answer for me, and that is, to the detriment of the city, what has all of these projects cost us? I mean, to our detriment, what has it cost us?
Yeah.
Have we been hurt by these projects, or have we been helped by these projects?
And the answer was?
Well, thousands of people use the URS Performing Arts Building, thousands, literally. And that brought 40 new jobs downtown to Aiken. Looking at the railroad depot, which is more recent, since it was turned over to the city and the city started operating it, 6,000 people have visited that facility. So what we're looking at, we're preserving history, and we bringing in tourism to the city, and we think we're doing a darn good job on that.
The other point I want to make is that we have two members of council on your board.
That's
and
correct.
They are free to come before us and report any discrepancies of how the monies are accounted for and how it's spent. And to your knowledge, have you ever been before us to have to explain any discrepancies in your accounting procedures and how you have dispersed or received funds on our behalf?
The Playhouse may have been an exception. We had a lot of discussion about that and how funds were spent, but never any discrepancies that were shown in the way funds were handled.
Well, if I may, I think when we talked about the very first audit, when I was on council, I pointed out that you had $400,000 in a checking account, which was only insured for $250,000. So that was not...
Did anything happen to those funds, or
no.
Did you move them to a safer place?
Nothing happened to the funds.
Okay.
No.
I just know that there are a lot of questions about this, but I'm not so sure that that those questions have anything to do with the cause and effect of your projects on the city's budget or any detriment to the city itself. If I have any complaint, probably is the fact that that you send out your report monthly, we have the ability to read and use at our discretion what you have sent out and maybe to a point speak with our representatives to see if we have questions about them and clear those up in our meetings. And to my knowledge, we have not been doing that. We have just accepted those monthly reports, and until something like this comes up, it seems like we want to open everything out and solve it all in one night, and we just can't do that because this thing is ongoing. And my question is, I don't know why this is. It has very little to do with transparency, because I think you're very transparent with your reports. And so I don't know what's causing all of this to spend an hour and a half on one item, when it looks to me like it's all the questions have been answered and all the information has been given. I just wanted to know if someone can tell me how we have been hurt by your projects. I would like to know.
I would too.
Well, my goodness, you want me to go over everything I've said again?
I haven't heard anything from you that indicates to me that there's been a problem with our funds and how we have hurt the citizens by any of these projects. Somebody has wanted them.
When you say hurt, I mean, that's a pretty strong word. Nothing we do.
You use the word detriment.
Nothing that we do hurts. I mean, is the SRS building wonderful? Yes, it's wonderful. Is the Playhouse building wonderful?
URS,
I keep saying SRS. Thank you for correcting. Is the Playhouse building wonderful? Yes. I mean, could it have been built better? Could it have been more economic? Could the citizens' interest have been given more consideration? Those are some of the issues that I've raised.
My only comment to you, Mr. Brody, is that I wholeheartedly agree with the statement that was made about the repair of the rear of the Playhouse, and I think that's probably one of the things you need to take up next. But other than that, I think you're doing a great job. And my vote would be to leave these two together, and I know it probably wouldn't pass that way, but if we have to separate them, Mr. Mayor, I'm ready to make a motion so we can move forward. If the city attorney would let us know how to do that.
Okay, well, let's see what happens.
We need one clarification. The reserve funds and the depreciation funds, to my knowledge, are appropriate and paid up to date. If I'm wrong, you need to tell me that, because we've done a lot of work to be sure our depreciation is there and our reserve funds meet the intent of them. Am I right or wrong on that?
They do.
And we can borrow from them, and that's per the state law. We can appropriate loans from money that we have for reserve accounts or depreciation
accounts.
That's
right. And again, the $23 million that you have in reserve is all designated. I mean, it all has a place to go. That's kind of how we've done things at the city. We buy a police car, we know in about 3 years it's going to tear up. We're going to have to buy another one. We're just going to wear out.
Yeah.
Well, so that money is there. To the extent that we advance the money, we do so knowing that at the time we need the money will be there. We've been very fortunate with that. We've never had a problem with that. And again, any time that I come to you with a request for advance, we know at the time we're going to need the funds that the funds would be there. We like borrowing from ourselves because it saves us thousands, really tens of thousands of dollars in interest payments and just in attorney's fees and other bond issuing expenses that we would incur, and unnecessarily so. We try to pay as we go as best we can, and we've been very successful with that. So that's why that money's there. And certainly we can discuss it at budget time. There's no problem with that.
Well,
but I think
council
will find that it is designated. The only exception, Mr. Ebner, is with the financial reverses since 2008, we have limited our building depreciation contributions. So that is something that we're going to have to take a hard look at budget time in the spring.
Well, we've had this, I had discussions with buildings that you're going to keep for 100 years, or
right,
whatever the case may be.
Right.
You don't need to depreciate that to zero. Your depreciation only needs to cover major repairs, because it burns down, you're insured.
That's
so you
right.
can over-depreciate a physical building like this.
That's right. And again, again, being completely transparent, that is a contribution that we have limited in recent years.
Very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say a few things. I've tried to be real quiet and listening to others, and I think just about everyone here appreciates what the Aiken Corporation's doing. Might be a few things there that they question. But I've had the privilege for many, many years, ever since even before the Aiken Corporation was formed, to work with Mr. Brody and many of the people on the corporation now. And I consider it an honor to have him work with them and been a part, and them being a part of this city. I totally agree that the city would not be what it is now had not the Aiken Corporation been formed. Matter of fact, it started with a little business group getting together, because back in 89, there were probably a third of the businesses, a fourth of the businesses, that varies, storefronts open. And I remember a group of us went up, two bands of folks went up to Greenwood to see what they were doing. They had a downtown manager. And we were impressed. We came back and got more people involved. And a group went out to talk to John Cunningham to be the chair of that group. And from that point on, the city has started improving. And then, of course, the Aiken Corporation came along to look at what else can we do with houses or you know, anything around the city. Not necessarily downtown, but around the city. And Richard had mentioned two homes on Richland. They were in terrible shape. And the Aiken Corporation went to work on those. But before that, Aiken Corporation worked on the Chamber of Commerce that you now see. The city and the Aiken Corporation worked on that land. It was two old gas stations there. And it took almost a year, as I recall, to find out who even owned it. It was a really mixed up thing. And as I recall again, the city bought at least one of them. I'm not sure about the other, but it all came together. The Aiken Corporation took over at that point, and we have a beautiful Chamber of Commerce building. And then there were some townhomes on Holland Park Road. And it's just been a number of things. Then it was the old paint and body shop off of Richland Avenue, kind of behind the theaters that the Aiken Corporation worked on. And I happen to know Mr. Brody went door to door to solicit help from each of the store owners to work on that. And he also made several trips, as I recall, to talk to the folks that own the theaters to try to get those so that they could be sold. And we see what has happened on that property. There's just been a number of things. And all of these have gone, and of course the Playhouse and the URS building. And we all know, I think we've all been there. And we all know what that's meant to the city, and it still means to the city. So there's just no question about this. And to me, if you're looking ahead, and there's been an awful lot of comments about, well, I don't think this is going to work, and this will fail, and this is going to fail. And I know there's a lot of reasons why some people don't want tourism, for instance, or other things. But I tell you what, tourism brings a lot of money into our community. It helps us keep the property taxes down. So does the accommodation tax. And the 1 cent sales tax being a big part of that. And you put all those revenues together. And that's one of the reasons we haven't had property tax increase in the millage in 22 years now. You tell us all who else has been able to accomplish that. But I'm just trying to say that I think the Aiken Corporation has been a catalyst for many, and some would say most, of the good things that have happened in our downtown community. And I applaud them for what they've done. Now, that doesn't take away from the questions and what have you. Dick, you've asked a lot of questions. Others have asked a lot of questions. But I haven't heard anything tonight that would tell me that we shouldn't go ahead and support this. We are a partnership. There's no doubt about it. They are an arm of the city, in effect, in what they've been doing. Now, what we can do is we can split this up. We can take them one at a time. We can vote on one, and then we'll vote on the other. We can decide as a council, let's vote on one, and let's delay the other, table it, continue it for the next meeting while whoever needs more information can get it. I haven't heard a lot of folks say that they need information that now Mr. Waugh has, but that they haven't already heard and had maybe perhaps had answers to the questions. I can't decide that. I don't know. But I'm just going on the basis of I haven't heard anyone say, well, I need more information.
The only information I'm looking for is just, as I've mentioned, the historical payment, because I just would like to see for myself that the $1.9 million is validly the $1.9 million. I don't need any more information to vote against the 4% to 1%, and I don't need any more information to not support the dividing of the payments. I just flat don't agree with them, and it's a giveaway as far as I'm concerned.
Dick, is this something that would cause you not to support this package, if you will? Because you don't have that sheet that tells you what the monthly payment is?
No, that sheet has to do with the total amount of money. I support extending the lease.
Yeah, okay.
I have no qualms about extending the lease.
Okay.
When I ran, I promised to treat taxpayers' money like my own, and with that philosophy, I can't support the reduction of the interest.
Okay.
As I mentioned before.
Well, in light of this whole thing, unless someone else has something to say, I would like to make a motion. And it will have to do with splitting these two items up.
Three items.
And the first one would be, my motion would be to approve the lease to URS.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Second, okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay, second motion is to approve the rest of it. that we've talked about the splitting of the monthly payment and the lowering of the interest.
I'll second that.
Okay. We need some discussion.
If I could, just so that the motion is clear for Sarah's purposes for taking the minutes, section 2 of the ordinance before you says the lease payments to be made under this lease agreement will be divided so that $10,000 of each payment shall be used to retire the existing depot building debt. $10,000 shall be applied to retire the debt owed to the city by Aiken Corporation, and with any remaining balance to be used for Aiken Corporation / LED operating expenses. The interest rate on the LED note shall be 1% above the South Carolina local government investment pool rate, adjusted monthly. There shall be no penalty for prepaying the balance owed on this note.
I was going to say all that, but thank you for saying that. No, thank you very, very much. That's exactly right.
Okay. Is it ready for discussion on second motion?
Yes, sir.
It has been moved and seconded, right?
Yes, sir.
Question for the city attorney. We all agree that the Aiken Corporation is an arm of the city. Can the city overspend its budget knowingly? Can we go out and spend $1 million above our budget?
No, you cannot.
Can Aiken Corp go out and overspend what is written down to spend? I mean, arm of the city now.
Well, I don't want to necessarily disagree with you that the Aiken Corporation is an arm of the city. The Aiken Corporation is a statutory corporation organized in accordance with the laws of the state of South Carolina.
Can they overspend?
It's a separate entity.
Can they overspend their budget?
As a non-profit
question,
entity that's audited every year.
Yeah.
If they project something to cost $1 million, and when they know it's going to cost $1.2 million, should they shut the construction down?
I hate answering hypothetical questions.
Well, you want me to give you a real one? I can give you a real one if you want that, too.
I'm trying to understand the point of your question, sir.
The point is, we have another entity that we're having some concerns with now that Aiken Corp is working with, and it's a continuous battle to keep them from overspending the amount of money they have. Mm-hmm. Can we stop them as Aiken Corp and authorized by the city not to spend money?
Could I comment on that?
Yes. And Mr. Brody knows what I'm talking about. And it's not confidential, but it's we have an issue with a certain group that wants to overspend.
I mean, your authority really is with how you dole your money out.
I don't consider it a real issue because I sign all the checks. And if the money's not there, the check's not going to get signed.
Okay, but we did overspend, we did overcommit, and we had to stop construction last year, and we're close to doing that again.
No, and we didn't overspend.
We didn't overspend, but without doing the cash flow numbers, we would have overspent because they weren't keeping their books straight. And I think that's my whole point here, and what others are talking about. We need to have a better way to monitor the money before we run out of money. And that's the reason.
I'm looking at that on a monthly basis, and as I say, no funds will be expended unless the money's in the account.
Okay. So we can do that on an ongoing forward basis then. Now, another question for the city attorney. On this second part of this, and Mr. Cunning alluded to it before, basically I put all the numbers together, working with the members of the executive committee and Mr. Simmons also. And I guess I'm a little concerned that I would be voting on this because the numbers that have been used here and over the last year or two are numbers that I put together. They're unaudited numbers. The city manager has looked at them, and Mr. Ledoux has before. But I guess I feel a little bit guilty if I vote on this because everything that we've talked about and the numbers of 690 and so forth and so on, I've looked over the books for the last 2 years and gone through checking accounts. And these are basically the numbers that I've put together. Now, the corporation has looked at it. But I guess they're unaudited numbers that I've put together, and Mr. Simmons has been the biggest guy that had looked at it, and Mr. Cunning, too. So I guess, Mr. City Attorney, I don't know if I should recuse myself from voting on this or what, but since I would be voting on numbers that I put together, I feel a little bit guilty about it.
Well, if I could, before you answer, Gary, you know, we have the finance department review all this as well. That's why you have the memo.
Yeah, but did they go through all of the checkbook stubs for the last 3 years? I don't think so.
They've looked at the audit, certainly, but they looked at the figures based on the calculations.
Don't disagree with that, but all of the numbers that you're working away from are a result of the last 3 years of checkbook stubs that I went through and figured out the cash flow we had going on, too.
Well, I guess, Mr. Edward, what the finance department has done, of course, is looked at the two different scenarios, the 4% versus...
No, I'm talking about the actual money to come up with how much the railroad loan was and how much the pledges were applied in that.
The city staff looked at the loan on the URS bill.
I agree with that. They didn't look at all the other stuff that the numbers we've been floating around. I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but I'm just a little concerned that
The auditors have looked at those numbers. I mean, their report's coming out later today.
Mr. Mayor?
Later this year.
I would have to disagree.
They have gone through the checking books? Checkbooks?
No, they don't do that.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they did a site visit. And they did go through that.
Mr. Mayor, I have one other question.
Okay. Then
I have one, too.
Someone wants to speak here?
Ms. Price recused herself because of the vote on the lease renewal since she works for URS. Since that has been split out, it seems to be reasonable to allow her to be involved in what you're considering now.
That's a good point.
You have a problem?
It's the same money.
Mr. Mayor,
let's get the question answered first.
Let's see if we can get this.
What you're asking, I mean, she recused herself more as not necessarily being a conflict of interest. She doesn't derive any revenue from the decision that City Council is making tonight, more of an appearance of impropriety as anything else. Ultimately, you're still passing the same ordinance or you're deleting part of an ordinance. It's the same ordinance, regardless of how you vote for it. So I'm reluctant to comment on whether or not it's an appropriate thing for Ms. Price to rejoin the conversation after she's already recused herself. And you know, I've told council this before, and maybe the public hadn't heard it before, and I'll give this to you. It's really not my role as city attorney to determine whether or not somebody's behavior is ethical. That's why you have a South Carolina State Ethics Commission. When you have issues that come before council, that there is a question as to whether or not your behavior or conduct or vote may or may not be ethical, that's really an issue that council needs to address with the State Ethics Commission. You need to do that in advance of the meeting.
Okay.
Well, since this issue was broken up, is it appropriate to let her know that it's in two pieces?
And I'm still viewing it as the same ordinance.
Okay.
That is a conservative approach, but that's how I'm viewing it.
Didn't we vote, and in fact, it's already split? I mean, that was our vote. That was the second reading for the Section 1, wasn't it?
But you haven't finished voting yet.
Oh, okay. Well, the question I have is, my question has to do with Section 2, so...
Yeah, we passed Section 1.
You're on Section 2 now.
Yeah, we passed Section 1.
Oh, that's what I said.
Right. Yeah.
Didn't we pass it?
Yeah.
You said no, that's what we
did.
Okay. One further clarification on the audit. Mr. Broder referred the auditor to me. I have talked to her, and I told her that I was doing the... I had checked all the checkbooks for 3 years, so your statement may be true. This year she's probably looking at them, but she didn't look at them. The auditor last year didn't go through the checkbook steps. They may have this year upon my request, and Mr. Brody was well aware of that request. So I guess, I feel a little guilty that all of these numbers we'd be voting on here would be audited numbers.
I don't see the difference in a council member helping to participate in the crafting of those numbers than I would from a council member driving down the street and seeing an area that needs to be fixed up and calling the city manager and asking that area be fixed up. I think that's just a role that a council member plays as part of your process.
And I think he is a designated member of the council to the Aiken Corporation,
right.
So I don't see
the problem with that.
Okay, now that we're in Section 2, can I still ask a question? Okay, yes. Mr. Cunning came up and he actually suggested that we maintain, or there's a possibility that we could maintain that 4%, because, in fact, that would turn into a short-term loan, because as soon as they make that transaction where they sell the building that's in question, all of a sudden, the loan's going to be taken care of, or it's going to be paid off early. So instead of the 1%, should we just go back to a 4% loan?
So the motion before council is 1%.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's the motion that was seconded.
No, we didn't move. No. Have we had a motion for the Section 2?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Yes.
Now we can still consider
consider a modification of that motion.
Yeah, modifying it.
Well,
for the motion before you,
if it's for the 1%, I have nothing to say till we readdress it.
Okay. I just have one question. Do we have finance tell us how much less interest the city would receive if we changed the rate as the Aiken Corporation is asking us to?
That's about, did you say about 40,000? Okay, it's about, yeah. That's enough. I've done the numbers and that's close.
So that's 40,000 times, 8 years?
No, that's gross. It's not that much.
My question was, what is the difference between the interest we receive currently based on 4% payment and the interest that we would get if we lowered it to 1%. So it's 3%, basically. How much is that 3% worth over the terms that are in the ordinance? We should all know that, I think.
Pat, would you come up to the mic, please, if you can answer that?
Numbers fool you. You've got to be careful.
Well, I mean, it's a precise number.
He's got a calculator. It's 3.7 something percent.
Is it? What's the rate that you're going at now? It'd be 1.4?
1.3. That's 3.7. That'd be about
2.7% times 1,000,009. What's the exact amount?
1,000,925.
That number is $51,975. That's the difference. It's 2.7% times 1,000,009. Okay. My suggestion is, if that's the whole point, I feel certain we're going to get this thing paid off within 2 or 3 years. I would just do the difference. Just put it in a contra account. You got to get the loan at 1%, so we got enough money to pay both these notes. This is a timing issue more than just a cash flow issue. It's a cash flow issue and a timing issue. So my suggestion was just take the difference between the 4% and 1.3 and set that in a separate account. It's still owed, but you're not charging interest on interest. In other words, or you can just do it for 3 years, add it to the loan balance. Take the $51,000 and have a separate account. But it can easily be done. All you're doing is setting a separate account that you know you're protecting you, Steve. Your concern is, have we given away taxpayers' money? We do it this way, we're not giving away taxpayers' money. You're putting 2.7% in a separate account, but you have to have the 1% start with so you can pay both of them. Now, it's going to affect how quickly you can pay off this other note. Remember, that's a separate account, though. Reg, I don't know. That's one way to accommodate Steve.
But that's a stretch, Pat. That's a stretch. I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that does everybody understand what he's saying.
If we're able to sell the building in 3 years, you would have to add that number back to the balance. Now, what you have to do is then takes longer to pay that off. But you accomplish what he's concerned about, though, Reg. That he's concerned about a windfall for a corporation that the city taxpayers gave him 2.7%. That's your concern, isn't it, Steve? All I'm saying is that's the way to solve that. Now, as far as the other, you still got to keep the payments, the $10,000, because you got to have that cash flow to pay both those notes that way.
So you're basically talking about a third loan.
Interest only at 2.7%, payable after the big loans paid off.
Somebody can explain that. I'll vote for that.
Now, it's your $51,000 was a year?
But it is important, you've got to keep 1% so you can make those three payments, and forces us, the Aiken Corporation, to get the security. Now, if we pay security credit off quicker, that number's lower. And, you know, and the other way that we do, start collecting back the money that's owed on the housing we have, and try to get that back as fast as we can. But that's the secret.
Get
the loan
paid off. Pat, how much longer does it take to pay off the loan if we do that? Didn't you say it will take longer, a little bit longer?
If
you have to pay that interest back, but it's a separate.
Right.
Two loans, Mr. Mayor.
Right,
one
understand.
One would be at 1%. As soon as we close on that building, though, then that would be set. That interest would be set. And it would be paid off after the big loan's paid off. That's the way to handle it, Reg.
Mr. Mayor, if we're going to consider this, my recommendation is let's defer it and let the staff give us a packet that we can look at and study so we can understand it. It sounds simple, but...
Well, actually what's happening here is that you're taking a $28,090 a month, roughly, payment, lease payment from the URS, which is great. They're great. Mr. Brody, I have no problem with that. The problem I have is with $10,000 that should be going to the city to retire this note, which is $20,000, which is what their payment is today, plus the interest monthly. Why allow them to use $10,000 of that money to pay a note, which we've determined that the Aiken Corporation, they're no arm of the city. That was clarified just a minute ago. They're no arm of the city. So why should we take $10,000 of our money and go pay off a bank over here that we're not obligated to pay anything to? That's the question.
I guess the big answer to that, my answer, would that we work together, Johnny. We want to work together.
Working together.
We have worked
that's
together
fine,
before,
sir.
And
but
I hope
the
we continue.
The man there said that's a separate corporation.
Call it whatever you want.
No, I'm talking about the gentleman sitting right next to you, the attorney.
I heard that. I know what it is.
I think it's a very, that's a bad deal. I think that you might want to, I think that approving the URS lease was exactly the correct thing to do.
Okay.
I think extending this loan on these terms is a poor decision for this city.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for your comments.
Mr. Miller, thank you. Just my name is Jerry Guerin. I live in Cedar Creek. I live in the county. But I have a business, small business in Aiken, and I do pay city tax. And the point I'd just like to make, the issue, and it's more of a question, and I think anybody that serves on the Aiken Corporation and serves in City Hall, I think is a conflict of interest. If they have voting rights in the Aiken Corporation, they should not be voting at City Hall on issues that come before you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
We don't have a calculation, Mr. DeWar, to answer your original question. What finance did take a look at is if you assume the 1.33% interest rate, the 0.33 was seen as an average rate, at paying under the current rate of $20,000 a month, it'd take about 8.5 years to pay off the $1.9 million. If it's $10,000 a month, it'd take approximately 12 years to pay it off. And that's assuming that the depot loan would be paid off in about a five-year time period.
Well, my point in raising the question, obviously, is that is money that is rightfully belongs to the city under the terms of the current agreement. And if we change that agreement, essentially we're giving up our right to that money. I use the example of the people that manage our pension money. I certainly wouldn't expect them to treat money that way.
I think one of the concerns may be if we devoted $20,000 to the paying off the URS building playhouse loan, it'd get done a lot faster. All of a sudden, we picked up an obligation to pay off the railroad depot. And then what is to keep the corporation from turning around and using that $28,000 monthly payment to, you know, maybe go $10,000 towards it, or $8,000 for the main loan, $8,000 for the railroad depot, and then something that just kind of parachutes on us, use another $4,000 or $5,000 per month to do that. You know, it's...
Well, that's why you have the note terms. If they fail to meet the note terms, you can just call the loan due. That's why you have the note, because it sets forth the monthly payment amount. So they're obligated to make the payments under the note terms.
Yeah, but we can turn around and come, you know, we can entertain a request any time along the continuum. I mean, if we go back to the original notes, they've changed, what, four or five times? What's to
you
keep,
can renegotiate
what's
the
to keep? Well, yeah, but what's to keep the notes from changing and changing and changing as we go along?
Well, council would have to vote on that.
Well, that's exactly the issue right here.
Right.
We have twice already. This is the second time. Yeah.
How about the thought that Mr. Cunning had voiced with us on two occasions now about putting 2.7% aside in it?
Well, we need a better number than 2.7, whatever it happens to be.
Well, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that it keeps the interest rate up to where it is now.
Well, as I said earlier, I'd like to see that in a little more specificity. It's not the right way to pronounce it. Anyway, I'd like to see more detail. I'd like to see staff work up a packet on that.
Let's ask other council members here, do you need more information as well?
Well, since we're changing the calculations, I think it'd be wise that we continue this and let the city manager give us another write-up for the next meeting. It'll still be the second reading of it, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
And do we have to rescind the motion in the second, or can we just continue the motion?
You could change the motion to a motion to continue.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Make the motion.
I'll move that we continue the motion.
I'll second. I need to withdraw my...
Okay. I have no problem with that, as long as we will get to it, and we'll hopefully have everybody understanding what we're doing and whether we all...
I do, Mr. Mayor, because I recall getting an email this past week where the city manager sent out information that was requested by a member of city council. And in that email, he asked if there were any other questions.
I did.
And nothing came up. And here we are tonight, wanting to put it off once again. And I think we need to take the information that he offers to give us in a timely manner so that we can study it and then be prepared when we come before council. But I did read that email. I didn't request the information, but he emailed every single council member and asked if there were any other questions.
And I asked him this morning, which he gave us an answer to.
Well, this email came out last week, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
maybe last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I ask again.
Ms. Clyburn, this is not really a question. It's a discussion of what the...
But you're asking for more information, and he asked...
I'm not asking for more information.
No, you're not, but someone is.
Well,
that's delaying the vote.
I just have trouble with the terms of Section 2, which, I mean, am I going to write Richard a letter and saying, please...
No.
No,
you don't have to.
Okay.
Well, what I would like to see us do is what Pat suggested. Would you agree with that, Steve?
Sure.
Are there any...
No, that's not what we have as a motion. We'd have to change our motion.
But I think if we come back at the next meeting, we should be prepared to choose one or the other. One is either what's written now, or the other, as Pat suggested, if we all understand it and it makes sense to us and we can support it. But one or the other... And then we need to be done with this and put it away.
That would be on the November 14th agenda, Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I would have to say that I think each one of us understand what Pat Cunning has said. I am in total agreement that City Council had approved a loan agreement to the Aiken Corporation at an interest rate of 4%. I don't think we need to lower that interest rate. That was an agreement that we made at that time, and I'd like to see us stand by that agreement. However, what Mr. Cunning has offered, I think, is a wonderful compromise between the City of Aiken and the Aiken Corporation. Mr. Mayor, we do have appointees to the Aiken Corporation that sits on the board, as we have said many times over and over tonight. Mr. Ebner is there, and I think that it was his work along with some of the other members of the Aiken Corporation that has come with this recommendation to City Council. Now, that may not be the fact, but with you being one of Council's appointees to the Aiken Corporation, Mr. Ebner, what is your thoughts on redoing this note? Is this the best possible way forward for us to reduce the amount of money that the Aiken Corporation owes to the City of Aiken?
My first statement will be a little bit roundabout. I got 23 comments from my constituents, and some of them are downtown. And they don't have any problem with the railroad or the visitor center being there. But the bulk of them, and what has been said here, and some of them in the audience talk to me personally, they look at it as a bailout, and I don't know how you get around that. And that's why I asked the city manager, the city attorney, can Aiken Corp spend money that it doesn't have? I was part of putting all this together, as I asked the question a while ago. There's not another way to get it paid off in due time to do it. I don't know how we stop in the future from creating this again, and that's why I brought up this other entity that we could overspend in the next year or two or 3 years. And my biggest concern is the future and not the present. So what we presented here, and I was part of that, and I did the numbers for it, that's the only way to get the Aiken Corp on a positive cash flow within the next 10 or 12 years. So I supported it at Aiken Corp. I supported it at the last meeting, and I'll have to support it again. And my constituents are quite unhappy with me, but I think that's the way to get it on its feet and not have the problem happen again.
Mr. Mayor, we've had a two-hour discussion on this item. And I think I would much rather see us vote on this tonight than postpone it to another council meeting, and then we would start all over again with the same conversation and go another 2 hours. I think we have gained an understanding of the issue, and I think now it's time for us as council members to make a decision.
agree, Mr.
We've lost one of our members who I think went to the restroom.
We have to rescind the motion to continue it, right, Mr. City Attorney? Well, that motion's on the floor now. I made it and it was seconded.
And to continue it? That motion?
That motion was made and seconded, so we would have to rescind that or vote it down, one or the other.
Well, I don't recall accepting the...
I thought Mr. Homolka seconded it.
Because I seconded the first motion.
The motion continue. What did you write down, Mr. City Attorney?
According to your rules, the main motion takes precedence over the motion to continue. So if the main motion has not been rescinded, the motion to continue is not proper to vote on yet. Ms. Clyburn made the motion. Ms. Clyburn made the main motion, so she has the ability to control whether we vote on the main motion or the motion to continue at this point.
The mayor made the motion. Ms. Clyburn seconded.
I'm sorry.
The motion.
And if I say these words, I call for the question. That ends the debate, does it not?
Council has to vote on the motion to call the question.
Can we have the motion again?
No, wait a minute. We've got a motion.
The main motion is the motion to adopt Section 2 as written. That's the main motion before council right
That's
now.
That's correct.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
And so that the other is a secondary motion?
Yes.
And Ms. Clyburn has the choice to decide?
No, the mayor does, I thought. You said the mayor made the motion?
The
mayor made the motion. He has to decide on it then.
It's either vote or sub.
No, I don't agree to continue it at this point.
It would be appropriate to vote on the motion.
Then my motion is invalid, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So the motion is, though... Still with what? The
1%? Adopt Section 2 as written in the ordinance before council.
Okay. And that would not be what we've recently here been talking about, the 2.7%.
No.
Okay. All right. I happen to think the 2.7% is the way to go. But okay. So I will not vote on the 1%. So if that's what we're voting on, I would call for a vote in favor of the motion that's on the table with the 1%. Is that correct?
Okay. Mr. Attorney, could the mayor rescind that motion that he made to go forward with the 1%?
He can amend the motion.
You could amend your motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I amend the motion to... go with the 2.7% as discussed earlier, and I don't know all the details about it, but at least we're not losing the money. That's the main point, the 4%.
Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you heard Mr. Ebner say that he sat with the Aiken Corporation and he was not in favor of changing it to the 2.7%. Is that what I heard you say?
I guess I haven't done the numbers on that thoroughly, but... I guess I really can't comment on that because we didn't discuss it in the meeting. I understand what Mr. Cunning was saying. It accomplishes Mr. Homolka's principle there. As far as a individual, I still go back to the real motion, and I don't have a problem with the 2.7. It's kind of fuzzy logic financing, but it does work. That's all I can say. So it is a positive to the city, no doubt about it.
Okay. It's not illegal.
No.
Okay. And it's a positive for the city.
Yeah. How is it as a city? It gets you the interest in the future back that we say we're losing. It answers Mr. Homolka's question.
Okay, that's a good thing.
So there's an assurance that the difference will come back to the city as interest.
That's correct.
Okay. That's my motion. Now we need a second to that. Right.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Any discussion?
I'm not sure I understood the end of that discussion relative to what else happens even though the city gets this. I think you had some concerns about something else that might not go exactly right.
My concern was about future transactions that Akin Corp does with other entities. Mm-hmm. My concern is that if we're not careful, we will be here in another 2 years discussing another issue. And I'm going to work with the city attorney to be sure that we don't do that in the future with Akin Corp.
Well, that's in the future, and this is this issue.
This is today, Beverly, so if I miss
something. My understanding is that in addition to the obligation for the URS Center and the Railroad Depot, Akin Corporation is picking up a third obligation, which is the difference between the 1.297 and the 4% that the existing contract has. And whatever number that comes out to is like another loan that they are obligated to pay to the city, and consequently the taxpayers hopefully stay at that 4% we agreed to years and years ago. Is that my understanding?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, I will only say I don't. Y'all may think you understand it, but I can tell you one thing. I don't understand it, so I don't know why we feel that we have to be rushed into making it's not typical of us. We're usually a pretty deliberate body, so I don't know why we have to rush in to something that's been presented to us tonight for the very first time. Usually we have a couple shots at something.
Council member, I don't think that we've been rushed here tonight. I think
we're rushing to make this vote.
A tremendous amount of time to discuss this issue. We have had, certainly there's something that has come up tonight that was an alternative to what was in the package. I have a very clear understanding as to what Mr. Cunning was talking about, and I think Councilman Homoki has a very clear understanding. You know, it's an obligation. We're not giving away taxpayer money that we agreed to receive from the Akin Corporation under a previous agreement with them. We're keeping that interest rate intact. It just will not be paid to the city of Akin on a monthly basis, but will be an additional obligation that as soon as that building and property sells, then they would be able to pay the additional interest owed to the city of Akin. However, you know, even the money that we're loaning to the Akin Corporation at the additional 1% is earning the citizens of Akin 1% above what they would be earning anyway. The building and properties that the Akin Corporation has worked on and built within the city of Akin has done nothing but improve the city of Akin. From the Camellia Trailer Park over here that everybody knew was nothing but a drug-infested trailer park right off of Richland Avenue over there, turning it into a nice apartment complex over there that people can live in. The Tool Hill area over here, which was nothing more than just infestation of crime. You wouldn't have wanted to ride down that street over there on Tool Hill. Now it's a beautiful neighborhood with homeowners that are living there. All of these are projects in which the city of the Akin Corporation, along with the city of Akin, has worked on. You know, these are great things that they have brought forth. And I just don't understand, I guess, or what I'm really having a difficult time wrapping my mind around, as if someone came to me and said, I want you to loan me $250,000, and I'm going to go out here and build you a beautiful building with it, and I'm going to pay you back that $250,000 that I borrowed from you with an additional 1% interest. And when I get through with this project, then I'm going to turn the project over to you, and you're going to own it right out. So they borrowed the money from me. They built the building. They paid me back the money they borrowed with an additional 1% interest, and now they wind up giving me the building. What's wrong with that?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that when this loan is paid off, that the Akin Corporation is going to give this building back to the city?
No. Councilman,
I don't think that's
the
correct.
City of Akin owns the property, and there is a 99-year lease with the Akin Corporation.
Yes.
As with every other property that the Akin Corporation has had anything to do with, just as with the Visitor Center and Railroad Depot, the city now owns that building. Okay? That is exactly what's going to happen with this building across
the
street.
I understand.
Now, is it written in there that just as soon as it's paid off, they're going to turn it over to the city of Aiken? Their plans are to take some of that money and use it on additional projects, just as they have done with these projects. We have loaned Aiken Corporation money to redo houses over in Tools Hill. Well, as soon as those houses sold, they're paying the note back. The money is then turned over. We gave them the right to use some of that funding that they had received from there in the Edgewood subdivision to start revitalizing some houses over there. We're currently doing that in Crosland Park neighborhood. But I'm just saying that these things are for the betterment of Aiken. And when you say that we are being reckless with the taxpayers' money, I just cannot understand that.
Well, let me explain it to you, because it's very simple in my mind. First of all, I have to say every time I raise the issue of the Aiken Corporation, I hear from at least three, sometimes four, sometimes five members of council who have all been on council longer than I am about how wonderful the city is and how the projects that the Aiken Corporation has done are wonderful and it's made the city what it is, and I agree with that. But that doesn't give them a license for fiscal mismanagement. And as far as I am concerned, at this point in time, we have a deal with them to get 4%. And now they're coming in and asking us to change that deal for the second time now. We were getting 5. Then we went 4. They were paying $25,000. Then it came down to $20,000 because after 5 years in operation, they discovered they had to pay taxes and they didn't have the money to do that. I mean, you just can't run your business that way. You can't make a loan from a bank and then decide, gee, the interest rate's lower, and so I guess I'll go to the bank and and they'll be willing to lower it. I mean, this is taxpayer money. We made the deal at 4%. We made it originally at 5%. We keep going down. And to my mind, that is giving up money that belongs to the citizens of this city. So that's how I view it. And I know you view it differently.
Councilmember DeBoer, we sat upstairs for 2.5 months going through line by line item the city of Aiken's budget to start with a zero-based budget.
Yes, we did.
Out of all of those meetings, we found nothing that could be corrected. The Aiken Corporation is audited by auditors once a year. We have two members of city council who sits on their executive committee. Just as Councilwoman Clyburn has said, if either one of these, and I feel very comfortable with either one of them looking over the Aiken Corporation, if they were to have one little bit of something that they were unsure about, they're either going to get it cleared up through the Aiken Corporation or they're going to come to city council with those issues. Maybe it would behoove you to sit in on some of those meetings.
But can you tell me the last time any of those folks have made a report to this body about the Aiken Corporation?
Councilman, I don't expect a report from them. We received we received the minutes of those meetings.
Yes, we have been for the last year and a half.
Absolutely. And we received the budget numbers from those meetings. And if there's not any issues going on within the Aiken Corporation, I don't expect to hear from our representatives. Only if there is a problem do I expect to hear from them. Maybe that's a difference in my expectation than yours.
Nonetheless. You feel the way I feel, and I think a lot of the folks in my district agree with me, but let's press on.
I would hope that any council member, if they have a question or if they want a report, would ask for it also. And we haven't had any of those either. Okay, we've got a motion. What was the motion now? did we get a second?
You did.
We did. Yeah. Who seconded it?
Was it
Beverly?
Either I or Don. I'm not sure.
Okay. Beverly made the motion, Don? And Mr. Wells seconded it. Okay. And it was to adopt Section 2 with the exception that you're not doing the 1% above the LGIP. You're doing the 1% above the LGIP, and then we're calling it the Cunning Compromise to retain the 2.7% separately to be paid off when funds are available.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay. Show of hands, all in favor. Okay. Opposed? One, okay. Passes 5-1. Thank you. Thank everyone here for not only listening, but talking and speaking your piece. We appreciate that very much.
Mr. Mayor, may I add, say something at this point relative to outside committees that we serve on?
Sure.
It probably is. It's not a bad idea to have a little blurb, especially after we have a meeting, especially with arts. I think those are the two that were brought up, the Arts Commission and the Aiken Corporation. Just letting us inform the other members of council as to what's going on, either in writing or... If that's transparency, then...
I never have any problem with people telling what they've been doing or what's going on the commissions. But if you do it with one, why are you going to leave out all of them?
Well, I think the only two that were mentioned was the
Aiken Corporation. If it's not like you're hiding anything, if someone has a question, they can ask.
Really open. I mean, I agree with you.
Okay, moving right along. Item 3, second reading public hearing of an ordinance to sell 2 vacant lots to Habitat for Humanity as part of the Northside Revitalization Project. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to sell certain property to Habitat for Humanity. It's 2 vacant lots, Mayor. One is at 1026 Cornish Street in Crossland Park. That's property that we paid $14,500 for, as I set forth in the memo. The other is a vacant lot at 610 Hampton Avenue Northeast. We paid $15,000. It is a vacant lot for that as well. We've had a good partnership with Habitat for Humanity in the past, and back in 2009, council agreed that up to 3 lots per year we would convey to Habitat for token consideration. Habitat again and again has stepped up and built houses inside the city limits, and they are very interested. Richard Church and I rode through town. Henry Krippner's here from Habitat as well. We rode through town and identified these lots, and Mr. Church shared with me that Habitat is interested in looking at infill lots in the city. They've also been very supportive. Council Member Ebner has worked with students both at Aiken Technical College and USC Aiken for building the accessory buildings that go in the backyards of the houses in Crossland Park. You approved this on first reading at the October 10 meeting, and this is second reading and public hearing to convey these 2 vacant lots to Habitat Humanity for token consideration so they can build houses on them.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing of this ordinance. And if anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so.
Mr. Mayor, for the record, Ms. Clyburn has left the room. She's a board member of the Habitat for Humanity.
Very good. Okay.
Some move, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
City Council, we've got a motion and a second.
Second.
Okay. All right, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. Second reading public hearing of an ordinance for the CPST funds. Advance for accessible playground to be built at the corner of Chesterfield and South Boundary Avenue. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This is the title of the ordinance is an ordinance authorizing borrowing from the City of Aiken's general fund reserve accounts as outlined in this ordinance for the purpose of funding the city-owned accessible playground to be constructed at the Aiken City Park located at the corner of Chesterfield Street at South Boundary Avenue. Council will recall that we brought this to you for approval at our September 26 meeting. We didn't have a formal written ordinance at that time. Your rules do permit actually approving items, and they can be reduced to a formal ordinance. When we went back and looked at the advance for the computers, for the public safety vehicles, and the $1 million for the jointly owned facility that's being constructed by the Aiken Society for the Prevention of Cruelty of Animals, we had actually done an ordinance for both of those advances. So to be consistent, we wanted to come back with you, before you tonight with this ordinance you'll remember at the January Horizons retreat, we talked about this project as being a priority project. Lynn Parker with our Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department has made presentations to you about it. Also, we had two groups that raised funds towards this project, as we informed you when it became before last time. So in order to have all our paperwork in order, I would ask that council consider here at second reading and public hearing approval of the advance of these funds for construction of the accessible playground.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak on the issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move for adoption of this ordinance to advance the funds for construction of this playground at Chesapeake Students South Bombay Avenue. I second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? I think, just a comment, I think maybe this is the only one in Aiken County once it's built. Is that true?
That is true. I see Mr. Parker said nodding up and down. I take that as true.
Okay, all right. No discussion? Show of hands, please, all in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 5, approval for placement of the Poker Spring historical marker. Here's, please.
Back over the summertime, council heard a presentation by members of the Bernard E.B. camp of the SCB. They have raised funds to erect a historical marker commemorating the historic Poker Spring that's been very much a part of Aiken's history. In that discussion, and for the placement of the marker, the applicants from the Bernard E.B. camp had gone before our design review board. The request was to put the historic sign actually out at Poker Spring and Whiskey Road. DRB actually made a recommendation to you that the proposed historic marker be placed either at Poker Spring on the Aiken County Historical Museum grounds or in the island at Newberry Street near the museum property. At the meeting that we had over the summer, council was interested in our public safety director checking with the South Carolina Department of Transportation to see if on the Whiskey Road and Coker Spring street sign, a sign could be placed saying historic marker 1/2 mile, and then allow the historic marker to be put at the spring itself and not off-site. It took some considerable time, but I confirmed with our public safety director last week that we have obtained that permission from SCDOT, and representatives from the Bernard B. camp are here tonight, and will give you their thoughts. Now that we have this confirmation from SCDOT, we wanted to bring that back before council for approval of where you would like to see the sign placed. The choice would be the original request to have it at Whiskey Road and Coker Springs, or the other three choices that DRB had made in their recommendation to council. So for consideration tonight is the actual location of the proposed historic marker for Coker Spring.
Okay. All right, thank you. Do we have members that would like to talk about the issue?
Wayne Jones. Here, Mayor. Okay. And he had spoken to council before.
Yes, sir.
Wayne Jones, it's a pleasure to come back before you. Let's hope this one doesn't take anywhere near as long as the last one did. I think we pretty much beat this horse to death. I took your proposal that you you made to us, Ms. Price, and took it back to my committee. And the proposal was that if you put a directional sign at the intersection of Whiskey and Coker Springs, would the committee consider funding the marker to go down at the site? It was, we kept waiting for an answer, which we didn't get, but we saw a sign go up. And after they saw the sign go up, we had a long discussion about it at one of our committee meetings, and the committee has said that they would not put the sign at Coker Springs. They would forego the Whiskey Road and Coker Springs Road access, but they would consider the Newberry South boundary, which was the alternative that Design Review Board gave us, as well as the museum and the site. We still feel strongly that we want to ensure that the general public can locate this. I have been able to locate a map since we last talked that actually had it on there, and I understand it is on the walking tour map that you have. But I still feel strongly that for people to be able to locate something as historically significant as that is very important, and the directional sign put at Newberry and South Boundary, you have plenty of room to pull off and park and read it and look at it and see what's there, and if you desire, can make your way down. I understand the general public's concern with traffic being on Coker Springs Road. I've been up and down it several times. After a rain, it's horrendous to try to make a movement on. And actually going in through the Newberry South Boundary access area is a safer and better way to access Coker Springs than coming down Coker Springs Road itself. So like I said, the committee sat down, and that is their proposal back to you at this time, that we would be more than happy to continue and erect this sign, but the only site that we'll consider right now would be one of the ones that Design Review Board gave us of the
island at Newberry Street.
Island at Newberry and South Boundary.
That's immediately across from the museum property.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that is actually near the trough that was placed with the drinking fountain.
Yeah, yeah. How in the world did the sign get put up? And was there some communication problem there? Didn't you say the sign was already up?
The directional sign.
Your sign,
the directional sign. Okay.
Within a week or so of the last meeting.
Right.
And
okay.
We started trying to figure out what's happened here, because our understanding was you would try to get approval for it,
right,
and then come back to us and let us know what the standing was. And after our members saw the sign, they had already made up their mind what they were going to do before that, but they were waiting on the official answer and us being called back before this committee so that we could...
One question. If that sign would be approved to go there, is there some direction that tells you where to go?
Yes, sir. I've already got approved from the design board, as I stated at the last meeting, that they would allow us to change the wording on the sign, whereas right now it reads, excuse me while I turn to it, the wording as it currently states is Freshwater Spring less than 1/4 mile southwest was used by prehistoric Indians. And what we would change that to read is 1/2 mile west.
South.
So basically all we're doing is changing 1/4 to 1/2 and changing southwest to south.
And what staff would do, Mayor, is just move the directional sign to have that area.
In fact, if you did that, sir, you could leave your directional sign where it's at right now, as there is already a historic marker down there from the National Register,
mm-hmm,
marking the springs itself, and that's one more way that you've got
mm-hmm
it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm
what you've got now would currently be acceptable from your standpoint,
yep,
certainly, because
do
you've already gone through the trouble to get DOT to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And with our marker in the other location would be mm-hmm another way that we could go ahead and do what we've talked about the whole time and honoring a very historic place here in Aiken.
Right. Now, are there others here that want to speak on this issue also? Jane? Thank you, Wayne.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to go far. You don't have to.
Jane Stoker, and I was at the meeting, the design review meeting, when we discussed this sign, and you know, nobody thought it should go on Whiskey Road because of the danger mm-hmm factors. And there was discussion whether it should or shouldn't go, at the Coker Springs site. Obviously the spring is a wonderful place and it's nice for people to know what it is. But as a person who walks down that road and in the past has ridden horses up and down that road for years, there's nowhere to park. There's nowhere, it's kind of a strange situation because that spring is not located in a place that you want to encourage a lot of traffic. It may be that having the main sign out at Newberry, people will see that and read it and go, okay, well, maybe I'll go down there sometime. But if you did have a sign, you know, more of a descriptive sign at Coker Springs, you know, there is a lot of pedestrian and equestrian traffic down that road, and a lot of times we have people from out of town who know nothing of the history, and they see that and go, that, you know, and there's a trough for horses to drink out of down there, and they let their horses drink, and they don't know what it is. You know, $2,000 is not a lot for a sign. Maybe there could be a secondary sign at the location. I understand it needs, you know, need approval, et cetera, but I think the main sign out of Newberry is probably a good idea, because you really don't want to get a lot of, certainly don't want to have people turning off Whiskey Road and going down there, because if it, you know, on a bad day, you can't get down there. And if you were passing a horse, or the, you know, if the mail truck's trying to get up that road and a car comes down and somebody's got to back up, there's not a two-way street at all. So I just toss that out there and let you consider. You just don't want a lot of cars down there.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you, Jenny. Anyone else want to speak on the issue? Okay.
Ready for a motion?
Yes, sir.
The city attorney will probably have to help me, but I move that we locate the sign as Mr. Jones has proposed on the Newberry.
The island on Newberry Street.
Island on Newberry.
And South Vaughn intersection.
And we also leave the directional sign there.
Okay.
Second that motion.
And Mr. Jones, I was okay with you to leave the directional sign. Okay.
I see a thumbs up, Mr.
Okay,
the city attorney can
motion and a second.
That's fine.
Any discussion? Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay.
Opposed? No, I would prefer to be at the site, so, but I. Okay. All right.
Maybe we get another one at the site. Okay. Before we go to new business, I noticed Larry's here now. You want to go back up before we forget it entirely?
We've had some folks in the audience.
I've been waiting a long time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
Then first, maybe.
Sure. That's fine.
A few items of new business.
That's sure. Item 2, approval of landscape plan revisions for the McDonald's restaurant located at US 1 at I-20.
Did we skip an item? We got the
wood design. Oh, my God. All right, pardon me. It's been a long night.
Let's go back.
Let's go back to number 1.
Yeah.
Resolution to accept the deed of dedication for utilities at Woodside Professional Center.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the resolution is a resolution authorizing acceptance of a deed of dedication from Woodside Development Limited Partnership, Sidewood Development LLC, Woodside Plantation Property Owners Association, and Vandalay Development LLC for storm sewer, water, and sanitary sewer lines located in Woodside Professional Center. You've got a proposed sets of deeds as well as a memo from Larry Morris, excuse me, the director of our engineering and utilities department. These principals have requested acceptance of this development's water lines, storm sewer lines, sanitary sewer lines, and the related apparatus. Mr. Morris has reviewed this. Our city solicitor and staff attorney reviewed the actual proposed documents. For your approval tonight is approval of a resolution for acceptance of the deed of dedication for these systems.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? A second.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'd ask the city manager to give me an engineering report on the backfill and compaction in the area. He did that. I would like to include that as part of the minutes. And so I can either, Mr. City Manager, I can either give Sarah my copy, or you want to?
If you would.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was the only thing. Be sure that was in the record.
Okay. Very good. Anything else? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Passage unanimously. Okay, now to number 2. Approval of landscape plan revisions for the McDonald's restaurant located US 1 at I-20. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. That original building for McDonald's was built in 1991. There's no resolution or ordinance. This is merely before you for consideration of modification to the landscape plan for the McDonald's at U.S. Highway 1 and I-20. As I put in my memo, and you'll see in the memo from Ed Evans, who's our planning director, they are proposing extensive remodeling on the site, demolishing the existing restaurant and then rebuilding a 5,176-square-foot restaurant with a new drive-through lane and outside dine being available. Since you approved the utility agreement in 1991, and since that time, the Aiken County standards that apply to this site are more restrictive. In order for them to relocate this new and improved restaurant, it involves some alterations to the existing landscape plan. We are before you tonight asking for that to be approved. Mr. Evans has reviewed that and has requested authority for any minor modifications from the plan in your packet be approved administratively. So that's for consideration by council tonight.
Okay, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move for approval, Mr. Mayor. Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, discussion?
Is the someone from here from McDonald's? I have a question to ask you. First of all, that's a business. That's a busy location, and that's all good. You bring a lot of revenue into that area with the I-20 ingress and egress there. My question to you is...
Give us your name.
Sorry.
Yeah, my name is Jason Foster. I'm the civil engineer. I work with McDonald's Corporation on the redevelopment of this property. Okay.
Thank you.
Question is, how do you plan to handle the traffic? You're going to tear the building down, so you're not going to be in existence for a while. How long is it going to take for you to do the construction here?
This building is a new prototype, so it will probably take the full 90-day turnaround. But from the day we break ground to the day we're serving burgers again, it's approximately 90 days. Okay. So it'll be close to 3 months. And during that time frame, we'll develop a set of building plans, civil site plans, that'll handle the construction traffic on and off the property. But for the most part, they should be able to stage right there on the property. They keep everything on the property limits. There won't be a lot of... We're bringing a lot of dirt. The site's going to come up a little bit. That's probably about the first 2 weeks. Once they get the dirt on the site, there won't be a lot of traffic on and off the site.
Do you know if more additional staff will be hired?
The new buildings do require a slightly larger staff. I think it's 15 on a max shift. And, they usually have a couple shifts. So I think they usually end up with two or three extra positions out there, I believe. I'm not exactly sure how many on the shift out there. But this is, like I said, this is a little bit larger building. And it will probably require, I'm not a manager.
Right.
But from my experience in previous stores, they usually end up with two or three extra positions.
Those are the questions I've been asked.
Yeah, I can't guarantee it. I don't know how the manager will operate the store, but my experience, the new stores, they do create two or three positions because they require about 15 on the max shift. But that's all up to the owner-operator. I'm just a civil engineer.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
No
Do we need a motion for this, or
is it
just ready for
it?
Now, this is only the landscaping, correct?
Only the landscape.
Rest of it, the deals with the county,
correct?
That's correct.
Very well.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Do you have a question, Flavia?
I did, but I guess maybe it's a county problem, and that is with the there's no decel lane come when you get off of Interstate to come to your restaurant.
The only access is off of Frontage Road. We don't propose changing the access point or enhancing it in any way. So we're not going to generate any extra traffic off of US 1. We're not that limited access, so that's why that fence is up there. We can't create a new access point on US 1. So the only point of access allowed is off Frontage Road, so that has to stay the same. So basically, that's straight from South Carolina DOT. So we only have one point we can access. So in when you turn onto that road, you're making almost immediate right entrance into it, so there's really no, I guess, no use for a taper or a V-cell lane there.
And that works out well. That works out well the way it is.
It does. It works fine just the way it is. Yeah. So they get trucks, buses, and trailers.
Okay, thank you, Jason.
Excellent, sir.
Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to annex 0.6 acres of land on University Parkway on the north side of Aiken near SC Highway 19. Mr. Horsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.6 acres of land, more or less, owned by Francis S. Whittle, and to zone the same general business GB. As I set forth in my cover memo, Ms. Whittle has requested approval of this annexation request. The tract is a portion of tax parcel number 12009. 01001 is to be combined with a parcel at University Parkway and SC Highway 19 that is owned by the principals of Greg's Gas Plus. This went before the Planning Commission on October 11, 2011, and they unanimously approved the request with the conditions that are contained in the attached ordinance. I also have included the memo from Planning Director Ed Evans as far as the actions that have been taken by the Commission, the conditions, and the application filed by the owner. For approval on first reading tonight is the ordinance to approve annexation of a 0.6 acre of land owned by Francis Whittle and for it to be zoned general business.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move for approval, Mr. Mayor.
All right.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Is anyone in the audience on this issue to want to say anything? Huh?
I'm here to represent the owners.
Okay. Anything you would like to say?
Okay.
All right. If there's no discussion, show of hands. All in favor? It passes unanimously. Item 4 is a first reading of an ordinance to revise the solid waste ordinance.
As part of our budgeting process and reorganization and realignment of city operations, we divided our public works department into two separate entities. One is engineering and utilities, and the other is public services. Public services division has taken, excuse me, the public services department has taken over all our solid waste operations, and its new director, Tim Coakley, has been working with Ben Moore in reviewing our city code, and particularly the solid waste sections, and in particular provisions related to residential garbage, yard trash and recycling, weekend roll-off container use, small business garbage, and small business recycling. We provided you with a copy of revisions. These are actually just technical amendments that deal with the operations of the department. There's nothing substantive. It just recognizes the fact that we do have a public services department director now and are no longer under the public works configuration. For City Council approval of the ordinance, which is entitled an ordinance to amend Chapter 32, Solid Waste Article 1 of the Aiken City Code, for consideration tonight is the first reading of that ordinance to modify the solid waste section of the city code.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
All right.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion?
Just a question. I noticed that, I'd ask that we consider putting in the practice that I've talked about in the past for those people who are annexing into the city, the idea that if we have used containers, that we'll offer them to these folks.
They're offered at no charge. If they want to buy a new container, that would cost them $50. That's something we do as a matter of policy. But if necessary, we could put it in the second reading if it's necessary.
If you feel it appropriate.
I hate to put the dollar amount in because it locks us in.
Oh, I wouldn't put a dollar amount, no.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't put a dollar, but just the idea that, where we can, we'll give them a used one.
Mm-hmm. Right, just when supplies last.
Mm-hmm. I have one clarification question on page 171, item Q, the optional backyard service. Do we require any kind of medical certification that somebody's just not lazy, so that you have to walk to the backyard and take the garbage out on?
Currently, you can subscribe to that service without any questions asked. We're putting in this new draft to eliminate that, and we have a medical exemption form that we send them, and they send back to us.
couple of years ago.
I have service for free.
When we started this, we had about 600, I think, is what the previous center manager said. Are we about that number now? Is that still decreasing?
I think it's less than that. I think it's about 450.
Okay.
And it's subsection 7, Mr. DeWart. Excuse me, Mr. Hebner. Subsection 7 under 32-2.
Are there any other changes that are being made as a result of in this ordinance?
Just the removal of that backyard service.
Okay, that's the only...
Yeah, okay.
Back in 2004, we offered, every customer had backyard service, and council felt like there would be huge opposition to getting rid of that. It never really materialized. There's only about 400 people that take advantage of it.
And we actually are getting comments from our risk manager and from our general liability insurance provider. It's just an increased likelihood of injuries by having the totems go into the backyard of folks.
Yeah.
The wording on Q somehow doesn't jive with the charges on the table. Why doesn't it say backyard service requires a fee? It's, you know, it basically says it's no longer offered. But it's offered for a fee, is my understanding?
Currently it's offered for a fee. We're trying to stop that with this revision. Only because we don't want the liability going on private property. And, you know, causes issues for my guys to walk back there.
How many folks did you have doing that? Sorry, Steve.
That are subscribed to the service right now?
No, to go in the back.
Yeah, that are.
How many did you have that wanted that service and paid for it to go back in?
It was as high as about 600. It's down to about 450 now.
Okay.
So not, you know, considering we have roughly 11,000 accounts, you know, it's not a significant number.
But you will, continue serving those customers until such time as they move
discontinue
all right. City services.
And again, if somebody has a medical necessity or hardship, they can make application to get the backyard service. So it's not completely eliminated forever and ever. There are
exceptions. That's free also.
That's right.
For the medical.
And is that a form?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a standard form. We mail to them. They mail it back to us.
So the inset for the charges are predicated on for the people that have been grandfathered.
That's correct. And those charges are the same as they're okay. Currently. They'll carry on until they discontinue their service.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Tim. All in favor? Hold your hands. Passes unanimously. Yeah. Okay. Dick, before we go to your point on the election, let's go back to Larry. How about that?
He's okay. Here. I can see him.
He is here.
Well, he was. There he is.
He's here.
Yeah.
We wanted to have Larry come to you tonight and give a presentation on Engineering and Utilities Department operations, and in particular talking about the incidents of water leaks that we've had in the city, because I know all of you have heard from constituents, and Larry has undertaken some measures we want you to be aware of.
Well, first of all, I do apologize, Mayor, Council, Mr. Pierce, for running late tonight. I have to admit to being technologically challenged. I do have the map on here that if y'all want to see it, I can load it up on the computer. It is in a PDF format is what we were wrestling with, trying to be able to present it a little better than that. But let me tell you what we are doing. We have realigned our crews. We were running three-man and four-man crews. We are now running two-man crews. And if there is a spot that does need additional personnel, which sometimes that does happen, that crew is to call a supervisor, and the supervisor will either call another crew to that spot or call in a road crew, something like that. A good example is the Northwood Drive leak that we had a couple of weeks ago. We called one crew in. They had problems with it. We had to put another crew with them. And then just to facilitate cleanup, we had our road crew come in and do the cleanup. So we had a total of six people, but not six people there all the time. They were coming in and out. That is working well for us. It's making us more efficient. Two other things that we're getting hit with very hard is the cleanup on the grass and, you know, getting yards repaired. We do have a person on staff that has worked as a lawn maintenance person. She does have experience in renewing yards. So we have teamed her up with another employee, and they are to be the yard repair crew to come behind our other crews just as rapidly as they can. I have talked to several individuals personally, you know, where they had some sprinkler damage or something, and we do authorize, if we damage a sprinkler, we do authorize that citizen to go ahead and have their sprinkler company repair those, and then we will pay that bill. We don't want to get into repairing sprinklers. We are not sprinkler people. We'd rather have the professionals who do that for a living do that, and then that takes the liability from us when we do that. The other thing that we've been running behind on is getting concrete driveways, sidewalks, things like that repoured. Prior to going on vacation last week, I did talk to our superintendent of that section, and we have authorized the use of our annual concrete contractor, and that's Fincher Construction, and they are out now working for us to try to get us ahead. So we have their crews working for us. We have our own crew working on concrete to try to get caught up and get ahead of this thing. Continuing the research on the pipe materials. I know Mr. Ebner had some questions about that the last time that we had a meeting, and I should have some information ready for Mr. Pierce by the end of the month on that.
Which, of course, we'll forward out to council the minute I get that.
Yes. And we're also still trying to find some different pipe material. We are using a much stiffer, a better material now. It is more expensive, but it is a better material. And it is the latest material that AWWA has come forth and said that this is probably the best thing to be using nowadays. So we are taking positive steps. We are looking at ways we can become more efficient to be able to get on top of this and do it. And as I come back to Mr. Pierce with additional information, you know, by the end of the month, hopefully we'll have some additional, let's call it information, that you can give your constituents when you do get phone calls. And I have been devoting more of my time to looking into the complaints and the leaks and everything and calling back more citizens. I spent a lot of the afternoon, this afternoon, visiting three different sites where we had had questions from the citizens. And citizens, by and large, once they have some communication, they can understand. And there are eyes and ears out there. One of them that called in said, hey, there's a problem over in the peninsula area. I went over and looked at it and did find the problem for them. So we've got a crew on that first thing in the morning. So hopefully we'll get some good relationship like that going.
Great.
Thank you for jumping in, Larry. You make us look good.
Thank you, sir.
Do you have enough people?
Part of what we're looking at, and I've been working with Mr. Pierce on this, is to look at our manpower. We do have an annual retreat that is part of what each department does. Mine is coming up November the 9th, and we're going to be discussing manpower issues there. But I'll have something from Mr. Pierce before the end of the month also for his review. And then we'll see where we go from there.
How many leaks
I would anticipate a discussion at Horizons on this topic as well as through the budget process.
Oh, no doubt. How many leaks are you working at right now?
I'm sorry, I didn't check the board today. Last number I had was 42, but we did get, when we had some good progress last week on some leaks and got that number down, I was told below 40, but I do not have the number.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the hard work you're doing.
Larry, I recently got invited to a neighborhood block party just south of where I live, and I think they might have done it so I'd have to drive on Ascot Drive, and that place is really torn up. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Ascot's Stratford Hall?
Yeah.
Stratford Hall is one of the orphans that we had to accept a couple of years ago. That subdivision is over a decade old. In fact, it has gone on 15 years now. The original developer did not finish it. The bonding ran out, there was no way to finish it. For years, it kind of languished, went into receivership. I know that the bank ended up with some lots and had to sell some, just a pretty checkered history. So we inherited a lot of installation there that really wasn't up to spec, and we had never accepted it because of that problem. And, of course, the developer went bankrupt. So we inherited those problems. So, yes, there are many problems out in that area.
The residents had some good words, but, you know, funny enough, as I was driving, there's one section, like, around the 300 numbers, kind of torn up, probably 30, 40 yards long. It's got gravel on it. But as I was driving towards the gate, you know, the divider as you go in and out on Ashton Drive, it was a dry day. We haven't had rain for like about a week or so. Right in the middle of the road, I started. It looks like water was coming up already.
We've got that leak, some others that, as you say, it just looks like there's a little bit of water. A very good example of that is the Northwood leak that we worked about a week and a half ago. The water was actually expressing about halfway down the hill. Mm-hmm. We dug there. There was no water line. And we had the pothole and come on up the hill. We finally found the leak at the top of the hill about 300 feet away.
It could be generated by the portion that's kind of repaired, maybe running underneath the macadam.
It very well could be. And that's part of our headache when we start to go out and find these. A very slight leak, we end up tearing up a lot more just to try to find it. If a leak is a little bit heavier and running a little bit heavier, it's much easier to find. And I know that doesn't sound logical, but it's much cheaper for us to work one like that than it is to try to go out and find a wet spot and then start looking for the water.
Well, for your benefit, people appreciate, you know, what you're trying to do out there. They realize they have a problem, and, you know, it's not going to get solved overnight. So.
Thank you.
One thing when you have your retreat, and we've discussed it before, so I won't belabor the point, just, you know, you can figure up how many gallons a year we're losing in leaks because of the amount of time they're leaking. So, and several of us have mentioned, and I think we could get if another crew is needed for the city or contract crew, and I know some of these we don't want to use, but we sure need to start looking at getting that time down to repair it much shorter, because we're talking millions of gallons a year of water going out.
Look at that. The problem with contractors is the rate, the hourly rate they wanted to charge was just exorbitant. So we're having to look at
if it takes another city crew, because the next thing you got to address is when you're going to start changing out these thousands of pipes that are breaking.
That's
they're
right.
Breaking for a reason.
They are. Yeah. They are, and we are looking into that, Mr. Ebner, and I am working with Mr. Pierce, you know, to give him some recommendations.
I
can assure you of one thing, though. The finance director, Ms. Abney, does work with me on a regular basis through one of my staff members and one of her staff members, and we do a leak analysis on a monthly basis to see what our percentage of leaks are. And you can see it in a cyclical pattern, just the same way that we see our water leaks going up and down. But we have a percentage of leak loss, which includes everything. It includes fire hydrant flushing, everything like that, on a yearly basis. And we keep track of that, and then DHEC audits us on that when they do what they call their sanitary survey for our water system, and they look and see what our percentage leaks are.
Well, be sure and discuss the replacement of literally several thousands of lines we need to replace, so be sure that's in your discussions at your retreat there.
It will be.
Thank you.
Larry, from what you see, what's the main reason for the leaks?
The research that I've been doing and looking at, as we had discussed at last meeting, it's a pressure, and in low pressure, it's a stress fracture of the piping itself. Some of the leaks that we're seeing are due to inserts that are installed in the line. The manufacturer recommends an insert on the type of connection that we use. We do not use them. We have seen these things break more often than not, so we see that happen. We have folks run over meters in trucks. The part of the problem we're seeing out at on Vanderbilt Drive, we've had 9 leaks on Vanderbilt Drive alone. And the lines were put underneath the driveways because those are duplex homes. So you can't get, DHEC will not let us put a water line within 10 feet of a sewer line. So I've got two sewer lines in the middle, and then the water lines were kicked to the outside edge, and they're up underneath the driveways. And underneath the driveway, you get more vibration. You've got the cars pulling on it, and we're seeing a multitude of leaks there. So we have, many years, told any developer, any contractor, that if you are installing a driveway and you find your water tap is in the way, we will move it for free. It saves